at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
I don't know. Don't look at me. As we continue our series on Drive Time Radio in the Morning, we're about to show you a morning show team that has no problem saying whatever they want about anybody. Trust me. Kevin and Bean have been doing that, just that, for more than a decade. What are you laughing at me for?
You know they're huge fans of
us. I know, surely. Yeah, they are. For more than a decade on KROQ 106.7.
Seriously? How lame was that?
I haven't got a clue. I haven't got a clue.
That guy was a doofus.
I like Kevin and Bean. I think they're funny. I think they are a kick. I think they're a lark. I know that they've mentioned me from time to time on the show, and I love it.
And now,
good evening, everybody. It's now 5:30.
And you're Paul Moyer.
That's right.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:31, and it is Thursday, the 9th of Blovember.
I'd like to file a formal complaint if I could. I don't know if this is a lawsuit that needs to happen, or if it's a strongly worded letter, or if it's hiring one of Psycho Mike's homeless friends to go out and firebomb. I don't know. I haven't decided what my recourse is yet.
Jeez,
okay, what's the problem?
Well, I'm an Access Hollywood guy, as you know. That's my entertainment show of choice. And I pretty much, to stay up, stay current on what's going on with stuff, I watch it pretty much every night. That's sure. That's my habit. But I kind of had to have dropped Access Hollywood this last week or so because I took it upon myself to be the point guy on the show for the 35-part Anna Nicole Smith interview. So
right.
I've been forced to switch over to The Insider instead.
And that's paid off handsomely.
Yeah, it's been worthwhile.
And we appreciate all your efforts.
Because that way your eyes don't have to burn
correct.
And bleed
oh,
from
yeah.
watching that interview.
Correct, yes.
So I've had to watch The Insider, which is a show that I've heard Ralph make fun of in the past, but I never really watched it. This is really kind of the first time I've ever seen any, more than a minute or two of The Insider. It's just not a show I ever watched before, right?
Right.
And, it's a freak show, of course. We all
yes.
know that. And they're making me suffer because the Anna Nicole Smith interview, they do every single day. And now it's getting to the point where they're pushing it later and later into the show. And it's less and less time per night because they're running out of interview. I mean, they talked to her for like 10 minutes and they're spread it out over 35 days, right?
Right.
God.
But last night they came on and they've been promoting all month that they're going to do an update on the anorexic twins. Now, I never really saw the anorexic twins. I don't know anything about them.
The
but
walking
these are
skeletons?
Yes.
Ugh.
This is, we were talking about this earlier because The Insider started out as a showbiz show and somehow it turned into medical oddities.
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So all I ever heard about it was Ralph would come in and he'd go, yeah, Pat had the 700-pound guy on again last night or whatever. So last night was the update that they were going to do on the anorexic twins. As Lisa said, they're walking skeletons. I don't know how old they are. They got to be in their 30s or 40s or something like that. But they're just emaciated. They showed all this video from when they had them on last year. And I guess Tracy Gold, who's a former anorexic herself, an actress from the Growing Pains TV show, was going to go down, and last night was going to be the big interview with the anorexic twins to find out how they're doing a year later.
Okay.
A, are they still alive? B, have they gained weight? How are they doing? So that's what I tuned in to see last night.
Last year, we brought you the anorexic twins. Now, 1 year later, how much do they weigh?
Okay, so that's the kind of show you get from Pat, all right?
How do you not go home and say, what am I doing with my life?
You do.
Wait, wasn't I going to run for the governor of South Dakota at one point, and now I'm trying to guess how much these people weigh?
Together or separately? How's he working that out?
Yeah, see, I don't know. That's a great, right. They could probably stand on the scale together and barely make the needle move. So Tracy goes down there, and they do the big setup of everything we've already learned, apparently, about the anorexic twins, and now comes the moment of truth that they've been promoting nonstop for the past week. This is the update.
Now for the moment of truth.
Now tomorrow on The Insider, I come face to face with Rachel and Claire for the very first time.
Anorexic survivor Tracy Gold's dramatic encounter with the anorexic twins. How much do they weigh now? The reveal of what they look like today, tomorrow on The Insider.
Not to know.
Are you kidding?
not tomorrow. Not, you
they
can't
put
do
it
that
off
to me
again?
Now.
You're telling me that they teased it all show and then here's the moment of truth. Watch tomorrow?
Yes. I'm telling you, they teased it all week that today was that last night was going to be the night that we were going to finally see the anorexic twins. And then they get to it and they show her going to their door and knocking on the door and then say, find out tomorrow what happens when the door opens.
Are you kidding
Those
me?
Those bastards.
So, lawsuit, strongly worded letter, or firebomb? What do
firebomb,
you guys think?
Firebomb, well, firebomb, firebomb.
Hounds of Hell is always my choice. But, yeah. Wow, that's awful.
I got to tell you, I watched them do a makeover on the twins last year.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. It's like slapping blush seriously on a skull. Yeah. It was just disgusting.
Yeah. Wow.
They're
Ooh,
freakish.
Doesn't she look pretty?
They
so
are
the,
freakish.
The big, the moment of truth was a tease for tomorrow.
God, yes. How much can you hate them?
Well, it's just you feel like, you know, you feel like it's community service or you're doing jail time or something. It's like every time you sit down, you feel like you're chained to your TV. You're forced to watch and then there's no payoff. You know what I mean? It's actually, it's a lot like Lost to say the truth.
No.
It's just like you keep tuning in and thinking, well, next time it's got to be different, right? That was my experience last night with Pat and the anorexic twins and Tracy Gold.
That's unbelievable.
Wow. Well, you're going to have to watch it again, you know, tonight.
Yeah, because I don't want to watch it. I'd like to hear what they weigh.
Now we have to know what they weigh, Bean, so you're kind of stuck tonight as well.
Well, I'd have to watch it anyway because tonight's another part of the Hannah Nicole Smith interview.
Told me they were doing over two or three nights originally.
Yeah. That's what I originally heard they were doing. Then now they've managed to keep extending it. Last night they were addressing, what does Hannah think about the reports that another man is the father? Right. So they answered it very briefly last night. Apparently she'll expand on those themes tonight. And she will also either start tonight or they'll tell you about it tonight and then she'll tell tomorrow about why she hates her mom.
Hmm.
So those are the topics still on the table for the Anna Nicole Smith.
Wow. So tonight they're going to say, have you heard the rumor that somebody else might be the father? And she's going to say, yeah. And then they're going to cut and go, tomorrow, the answer.
That's right.
What the
that
hell?
That sounds about right.
My God.
Sweet.
I know.
Yes, Lightning. Lightning just walked in the studio. He's got the headphones on. He's standing at the microphone.
I was waiting my turn.
Oh.
I didn't know
you had a turn this morning.
Well, I was just going to say what I did last night.
Okay.
It was pretty cool. I got to play the brand new PlayStation 3.
Oh, right.
PlayStation 3 launch party in Hollywood. There was a Robinson's May in Beverly Hills. They shut the whole thing down. Actually, they went. It's been gutted, and they redecorated the whole thing and created their own departments, toy department, et cetera. Really? Anyway. Long celebrity line. It was a great time. And the machine itself, and I just like went off on the corner and like held one for like an hour.
Wait a minute. You held one?
I held it.
You caressed
it, I held it and I'm like, I tried to get it out of there. I've never seen any. It was like Secret Service everywhere around these machines. Yeah, it's ridiculous.
I got to tell you, when I think of playing video games, I always go to a Robinson's May store near me.
Sure.
Because that's where it's most fun to play.
They've done everything. You know, they've taken over hotels and motels and they make it their own, basically. Yeah. Anyway, so the machine itself, the graphics are so weird. All I can say is they're weird because
weird?
They're so clear. The NBA 07 and their F1 racing game, the way everything's out of focus in the distance and comes into focus, the crowd behind the player, you're going for your layup, and as the player comes up to the basket, the crowd behind him becomes in focus, then goes out of focus, and everyone behind the basket has got those tubes that they're banging, and then they sit down, and it's just unbelievable.
What did they say at the launch last night? Because there's been a lot in the news about how they're delaying it. It's not coming out today or whenever it was supposed to come out. It's going to come out later in the year, and they're canceling some games. Did they talk about that at all, the schedule is and the rollout?
No, but as far as I know, it's coming out next Thursday.
Oh, it is?
Oh, yeah. It's limited. I mean,
They're going to have 50 of them in all of the stores in the United States and then create this huge demand.
Probably. Yeah, they're going to do the same thing that they're doing with the Elmo. And yeah, I mean, that's just the way they do it, unfortunately. Yeah. But there's amazing demand. And I will tell you that, I'm not a huge video gamer, but I was blown away.
Wow.
I hear it's a great product, but I hear they have had a lot of trouble with the launch. Like the NBA game that you're talking about, I just read yesterday, is canceled. They're not even going to make it. It's not even going to be available.
You're kidding. I didn't know that. Mm. It was on every machine there, so I don't know.
The rumor is that you have one in the office. That's the rumor.
No, that's not true.
That's correct. It's not true because I already had Dave put it in my car.
No way. There better not be one over there. Is it really? Because I'm doing an appearance next week for like a Circuit City, some all midnight right. launch or something, but it wouldn't.
All right. By Circuit City, you mean you're going to Kevin's house.
Yeah. Well, that might be the case.
The nickname of my house. Yeah.
Exactly. I had to leave before Diddy went on, but man, everyone was there to see him.
Of course you had to leave before Diddy went on. I don't care if he goes on at 7, you have to leave before that.
Well, I wanted to stick around and ask him about the whole 007 thing and, you know, and whatnot, but that didn't happen.
Smooth cocoa butter skin.
Yep. You got to ask him about that. Sure.
Yeah. His entourage, guys, I don't know if you recall when he was in here, you know, a couple years back, so big. They took over. I mean, on his rider was like 12 bottles of Cristal. Everything in it. Well, okay, it's a Robinson's May and it's a department store. It's like tan and brown. And they had to turn a whole room white. Oh, everything geez. In the room had to be white. Linens, the candles.
Isn't that J-Lo's thing, too?
White. I don't know. He's always been white, though. He's always had those white parties. Yeah. And
I'll say it early now because they were partying late and they probably wouldn't appreciate me. But the PR company that flew him out here spent 150 G's on a jet and gas just to get him out here.
On a private jet.
That's how he rolls.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Jeez.
Wow. His performance had to leave that reviewer cold, right? I mean, he got out here and he performed. He went, not happy.
Full live band behind him, the whole thing.
How long do you think he went on? I know you didn't stay.
I know he was doing at least a half an hour set. Typically, though, they play for 40 minutes and then they'll have, like, you know, the John Legends of the world step out of the crowd and play a song as whatnot. So. Yeah.
Well, that's worth it. I mean, 150 grand for a private jet plus whatever his fee is, I imagine.
Oh, right. Yeah. The fee is just under half a mil.
Dude.
For about 40 minutes. Yeah. And a plane flight.
Yeah.
Did they know that it was Diddy?
I'm telling you, the crowd there was, you know, Hollywood's elite trying to get in there, and they were all, every single person on the red carpet, going to see Diddy. Going to see Diddy. Huh. Check out the PlayStation 3. What? Going to see Diddy.
It's the place to be that night.
Yeah,
right?
Of course. I guess that's what they're going to say.
The PlayStation was the draw, not Diddy, though.
Well, and it's just the atmosphere.
You could have seen Diddy performing on Jimmy Kimmel last night, for God's sake. You didn't need to go to the party like that to see it.
I guess.
You don't need to ever see Diddy perform, really. Seriously. It's not like you're going to miss out on some special part of life.
Last night was where the hipsters were.
Oh, okay.
That's right. Yeah, they covered it on the Quah. Yeah.
People who call it the Quah were there.
Anyway, just want to bring you up to date.
Oh, I can't wait. So next Thursday is when it's supposed to come out.
Yeah, and we have an expert on, someone from Sony, to describe how it works. And blah,
send
blah,
us
blah.
One.
Yeah,
send us one ahead of time so we can do a little research.
Right. Just to get it on the market, they're losing like
You're not listening to me.
Okay.
Send one over, because we don't want to talk to the guy without knowing about it.
In advance.
Well, it would be rude. It would be rude as an interviewer.
Right. We don't like video games, but if you could get one for us, that would be good.
I see. How bad would it burn you, Kevin, if I sent one to Bean? Just Bean.
That would burn me a lot, because I know no one has less interest in it than me. Yeah, that would burn me. That's a good one.
Right. I'll take up video gaming. Sure, go ahead. Light it up. Okay.
All right, let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show. It's Thursday morning, and we are going to talk to a guy who's going to tell us about a car you can buy that will parallel park itself.
I think that's the best.
You don't have to have your hands on the wheel. You don't have to work the brake and the gas. It will do it all for you.
I actually occasionally break out into a sweat trying to parallel park. Yeah.
I actually consider myself a bit of a savant at parallel parking. I like to try to challenge myself to do it faster and faster each time.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that must go well.
Just to make it fun. Sometimes it does. Sometimes it really doesn't go well at all. But anyway, this car will do it by itself. So we'll talk to them. We have Kiefer Sutherland on the show today.
Great. Ooh.
Of course, the star of 24. He also has a record company. He signed a band, and he's got a special on VH1 coming up. So we'll talk to him. Mm-hmm. Our friend Bob Toe, formerly known as Doto, wants to quit.
Quit what?
Being on the radio. And he doesn't realize that he has a contract. And we're going to have a little talk with him this morning.
Does he really have a contract? I didn't think he did.
Well, of course he doesn't, but we're going to tell him.
We don't pay
him. All right, yeah.
We don't even pay him.
Yeah. It's Bob Toe.
Apparently he's had it with us and he's done.
Huh.
He's had it with us.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's interesting.
Mm-hmm. His friends hear him on the radio and suggest that we're laughing at him, not with him, Lisa. I think that's what this is stemmed from.
His friends?
Good point.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll ask about that then.
His dad. Tyra Banks Blows, that's coming up this morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Not that way,
unfortunately. She's just bad. We're going to talk about Lost. We have highlights from Lost last night.
Yes.
Which, by the way, I loved.
Me too.
How funny was it at the end when you saw February 2007?
Oh, I know.
It made me want to reach through the TV and strangle somebody.
There'll be 16 episodes in, like, 16 weeks.
In a row, not one repeat. Well, okay, that's what most shows do.
But that is nice, though. You remember how frustrating it was to have all those repeats last year. You
know, of course.
One new one and then two repeats. It's going to be way better to do it this way. They're doing it.
February.
Well,
it's like The Sopranos.
Dude, it's the beginning of November. We're talking about February.
I know.
I'm actually saving this episode so I can remember what happened.
Yeah, I'm not even going to remember the word lost in February, for God's sakes. But anyway, we'll have some highlights of that, plus listener William will be on. Okay. We're going to find out what's involved in a Scientology wedding.
Oh, good.
And I believe we're going to talk more about The Dirt, this new movie with all the celebrities playing the band members. Mm-hmm. Of course, it's the Motley Crue movie. And I guess Christopher Walken is going to play Ozzy, and there's all kinds of casting news, so we're going to get into that a little bit on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show as well. It's 5:45, and Ralph's Showbiz Beat is coming up now.
Where else are you going to get the killer Smashing Pumpkins, AFI, and the Postal Service all coming up in the next hour, but right here at the world-famous K-Rock? Plus, Ralph Garman with the Showbiz Beat. Good morning, Ralph.
Tower Records sells them. Bye.
Let's talk about Brittany and Kevin, shall we?
Yes, yes, yes.
As you know, they're getting a divorce.
What?
A website for Britain's New Woman magazine has asked an online poll of what do you think Kevin Federline will do next?
Suicide? Is that one of the options?
1% of the voters, that's 1%, said become a megastar in his own right.
What are they smoking?
That's a little high, I think.
It's way high.
12% of the vote went to hook up with Paris Hilton. They'd be a great pair. And 87% of the vote said sell his story, then disappear. So everyone's guessing.
Sure.
Now that he said he's going to write a book about his life, you can only imagine that this will be a big part of it. It'll be some sort of tell-all biography. And
sure.
We'll all learn something about how Brittany cuts her toenails or something.
You know, we already saw chaotic on the UPN. I don't know that we need to know anything more about their lives.
Yeah. Their lives are hard to watch. That's what we learned about them. Paris Hilton has said she wants a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame. Now, here's the rub. Usually, to get a star on the Hollywood Walk of Fame, you have to have done something.
Yeah, there is that.
You have to have appeared in movies, or had a recording career, or been a DJ like Rodney Bingenheimer, or had a successful television career. But Paris says she may not measure up in any of those categories. However, she believes she should get it because she's the most famous person on Earth, she said.
Wow.
So maybe there's a new category.
Wow.
Although Dr. Jerry Buss got one the other day. That was bogus.
Dude, he's been a great sports owner for a long time.
Right.
Angeles.
So put him in the Sports Hall of Fame or the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Don't hate.
What's he doing on the Hollywood
Walk? Don't hate because you're from Philadelphia.
Tell me what he's doing on the Hollywood Walk of Fame.
He's been
in movies,
the Lakers,
TV,
have
recording,
been a major
radio?
Part of Southern Californian entertainment for all these years. He deserves it.
But what category does he get the star
guy
in?
Who provides us with entertainment.
Oh. Let's give the Kevin category. Kevin's head on a star. And yeah, when Kevin likes you.
You know, we've talked about this Walk of Fame before. Excuse me, Ralph, but I want to back you up here. And to me, it's the whole thing is publicity for the fake city of Hollywood. So put people on the sidewalk that the tourists who come in every year are going to go, hey,
that
I
guy.
Like that dude.
Yeah.
Yeah, not who's that.
Right. I agree.
If they're not famous enough to be known to the tourists who come to Hollywood, they shouldn't be on the Walk of Fame.
And let's start tearing up some of the old ones, huh?
Yeah.
Let's make some room by getting Robert Lowry's star off of there, who starred in gangster movies in the 1930s. Maybe Bob's star doesn't need to be down anymore because no one's walking past and taking their photo with it laying down on the sidewalk.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying. We need some more room for more stars. For people like Psycho Mike.
It really stopped being what it was supposed to a long time ago.
Yeah.
It's just, I've got a movie out, and it's part of my promotion.
Or I own a basketball team.
Well, he should get
and
it.
And I gave someone a lot of money, apparently, and they're putting me on the
Or I had a sex video, and I'm the kid of somebody who has money.
Yeah.
The weirdest star in the Walk of Fame, though, is the Apollo 11 astronauts. That's the one that just befuddles my mind. Now, you can argue that they had
big
the most
TV
watched television show of all time.
Big TV show.
Sure.
Absolutely.
But still, it's just weird.
That's hot.
Lindsay Lohan was on Oprah Winfrey Tuesday. Did you see her?
No.
I did.
She says she hates her reputation as a party girl in the press. Hates it.
Really?
See, I wonder how she could possibly defuse that reputation.
Oh, it's not possible. They're making it up, and there's nothing she
what
can do.
What could she do that would lessen that sort of coverage about her life? Mm. Oh, stop drinking and partying, I guess. She says, I'm 20 years old. Is it a crime to go dancing with your friends?
It's a crime to drink.
It is a crime to drink, actually, so when you're under 21 in the United States of America. So there's a crime.
You know what? It's just the a-hole factor. There's just so much of an a-hole factor with certain people. And she just, like, for some reason, she rubs me the wrong way that way.
Like, if you're going out every night and you know the paparazzi are taking pictures of you and you're getting hammered.
And you know where they go. You know they'll be waiting for you.
Then you get what you get.
You're asking for it.
Absolutely.
Even more.
Tons of people just as famous who manage not to be in the tabloids every week.
There is a level of fictional victimization these people find where it's all, oh, God, they're so oppressed.
You know, I did see her on Oprah, and she's completely, I don't know if she can sing anymore, but she's got that Tara Reid totally, like, burned out on drinking and partying hard and smoking voice now.
Yeah.
She's hard to even listen
to. I'm 20 years old. Is that a crime to go dancing?
Exactly.
Earlier this morning, our boy Lightning was talking about P. Diddy showing up to that PlayStation party.
Sure.
He said he charges, what do you say, about a half a mil for an appearance?
Just under a half a million dollars.
Interesting list in Us Weekly magazine. What it will cost you to hire several stars to show up at your party.
Oh, good.
Tara Reid, for example, will show up for a six-pack and a carton of Parliaments. No, I'm kidding. She charges between $10,000 and $50,000. To show up at your party.
Really?
Yeah.
What?
Apparently gets it. Just to be there, to make it a scene,
to make it cool.
To make it an event. Of course, her bar tab will kill you, but Pamela Anderson will show up at your party for anywhere between $75,000 and $250,000, depending on the length that she has to stay.
Wow.
If only Borat had known that, it could have saved him some trouble.
That's right. Pamela, for $75,000, she'll show up at your joint and just hang out.
For a minute.
Yeah. Jessica Simpson, for a private performance at your party, $400,000 to get her to sing a few songs.
Oh, singing, that kind of performance.
Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah, exactly.
Really?
Dr. Phil?
To come yell at you?
To come yell at you at your house? $750,000 to $1 million.
Oh, my God.
Are you kidding me?
What? Not really serious about anywhere.
What good would it be to have a party and have him there?
What is wrong with you? Why are you drinking so much?
Clearly, you have been damaged somehow, some way, along the way, psychologically.
Okay, leave the party. We don't need you here.
Well, actually, if you have an event or something, maybe it's a corporate event and you'd like to have him speak.
Oh,
that's what he's going to charge you for there.
But I think Lisa's on to something. He doesn't want to do it, but they forced him to just name a number. And he just picked a number that's
what
so absurd that no one will pay.
What can I charge that no one will ever ask me? $1 million. And Mariah Carey's private performance fee, if you want her to sing at your party, is over $1 million for a few songs.
Wow.
Dude. For a few songs?
Just for a few. Just for a small set, and then she's gone.
Wow.
She's whisked away. Speaking of parties, that Bob Dylan show on Broadway, the times they are changing.
Yeah.
Good times.
That's going well, is it?
The show, it is a closing.
Yeah. Oh. Not surprising.
After 28 performances, they've shut the doors on that show. So
where's the love?
Where's the love?
Performance.
It was
Bob
in
Dylan.
A sad little theater I've never heard of
or seen
before.
Apparently a sad little show.
What folks need to realize, by the way, is when a Broadway show is mounted, it is a year of work, it's hundreds of employees, it's millions of dollars.
Yeah. And then it's gone.
Did Bob Dylan have a comment about this or
not? Yeah, reportedly told reporters, no one can tell if he's happy or sad or whatever. A New Jersey woman slipped off a bar while dancing on it in a Shake It Like Shakira contest.
Yes, who's she suing?
She hurt her back and she's suing the bar. Claiming it's the bar's fault because they should have known it was dangerous to shake it like Shakira on a bar.
Where's the love?
Wow.
But Shakira has been shaking it like Shakira for years and has never gotten hurt. So how would the bar expect someone else would get hurt?
It's true. If you look back on, for former testimony from Shakira, you have to say, completely safe to shake it like I do.
Yep. That's correct. She just did this. This woman just did it wrong.
In the court case, apparently Shakira's hips will be brought in to testify because they don't lie.
Do they have to even be sworn in?
No, they don't have to because it's a well-known fact that they don't lie. You don't have to worry.
See, that was the joke, Kevin, because the song
I know.
Was called.
Oh.
And it's getting tense, boys and girls. We are down to the final two. It will be Mario Lopez versus Emmett Smith.
Who could have seen that coming, by
Duking
the way?
It out on the final week of Dancing with the Stars.
Who do I root for?
I know, you're torn, Mike.
You my cowboy and my idol, my TV idol.
You got Slater versus one of the great running backs of all time.
Oh.
I'll tell you who I'm going to root for is any other TV show that's on at that moment.
How dare you?
Dancing with
two
the Stars.
Two boyhood idols of mine. I don't know what to do.
They should both be checked off your list for being on this show.
It was sad last night. Joey Lawrence got the boot. He was the one voted off, so now we know the final two competitors going into it.
Ralph, are you watching Dancing?
No. Okay.
He's never watched it.
Not once. Well,
I didn't know. I haven't seen a minute of it either, but I just, you know, I just assumed Emmitt Smith was going to be another Jerry Rice from last season, just a guy who's out there for the novelty value, but apparently the dude can dance, right?
Well, he's black.
He's in the final two.
He's black, and they can dance a lot better than we can.
They got dance. Rhythm.
Yeah, they should dock.
And they dance.
They should dock him points just because he's automatically better at it than
right.
they are.
And Lopez, he's obviously got some Latin in him, right? They can dance too.
Yeah. Sure.
Yeah. That's true. Joey That's true. Lawrence, white kid from Philadelphia, boom, he's gone. No chance.
It's a miracle he made it to the top three being a whitey.
I actually did flip over last night just a couple minutes before Lost started, went over to ABC. And why didn't anyone tell me that the girls that these dudes dance with are insane?
Well, they tried to tell you that, but it wasn't enough for you to want to watch the show.
There's this one little dark-headed broad who's dancing with Emma Smith who's just diabolical. She's sex on legs right there.
Oh, yeah, and they wear those skimpy little costumes.
Yeah, how about that?
Well, who was the unbelievably hot blonde chick that we all fell in love with from Dancing with the Stars? She got famous from Dancing with the Stars.
Stacey Keebler. Yeah. Well, I knew she was hot before she was ever on the show.
One of the Keebler elves.
That's the example of the kind of women I guess they put on this show.
But just
though,
the dancing bras, just the ones they team up with Emmitt Smith
the guys,
and these
yeah.
girls. I have no idea who they are, but they're just dynamite.
Sweet. But Ralph, you've said, and I agree with you on other occasions, there are other places to see hot chicks. You don't have to watch Dancing
with the
Stars.
But I had no idea they were that hot on Dancing with the Stars.
Are you turning?
No, it would never make me watch, but I was just stunned by the fact that there was actually something of redeeming value on that show, I guess.
It's a smart move. I mean, you know, I don't need Howie Mandel, but I got to have the Deal or No Deal girls, I'll tell you that.
I hear you. And Joey Lawrence, speaking of Howie Mandel, what's with the shaved head with Joey Lawrence?
Does he have a shaved head?
Bald? Is he going bald? Is that what it is?
Yeah, that's exactly what it is.
Whoa. Today's celebrity birthdays, actor Robert David Hall. You may not know the name, but he plays the chief medical examiner over there on CSI, Dr. Al Robbins.
Sure.
Really good actor. And I had no idea until I saw him being interviewed that he actually does walk around with a crutch.
Oh, no kidding.
Well,
really?
He had polio or something when he was a kid, I guess.
Oh, I thought I think he lost his legs in an accident.
Oh, really?
No kidding. Yeah, I think both those legs are gone.
Well, there you go.
Give me the rim shots.
No, it's
get him up. Get up the rim
not shot. A Heather Mills joke at all.
Guy's missing both legs.
I know, but
you're off your game.
He's good. We'll let him alone. Lou Ferrigno, legendary actor and bodybuilder who played the Incredible Hulk on television. He's 54 years old today. 54. You ever see him? Seen him lately?
Not in a long time.
He looks great.
No.
Looks amazing. Peppa of Salt Peppa is 37 years old today. Chris Jericho, the wrestler, is 36. His great show on CBS, too, by the way. Have you ever seen that, Jericho?
No.
Very good. Apparently, he plays a guy who blows up or something, and it's
Ralph,
really
that,
exciting. So that's a lot of radiation when he does it.
It's a different guy. That show's named Jericho. That's the character's name. It had nothing to do with the real wrestler.
Try watching it, Bean. Nick Lachey. Singer?
Free man.
He's 33 years
Happiest
old.
Happiest man in the whole USA.
Cisco. The thong song. Remember the thong song?
Sure.
Yeah.
The thong. He's 28 years old today, and the reason we celebrate. Vanessa Minnillo.
Yeah.
One of the prettiest girls on television. Mike is covering up his nuts for some reason.
Yeah,
is there a reason for that, Kevin?
Yeah, because I swing at him every time I get a chance when he makes that damn noise.
It's just the sex noise, man.
Yeah, I know.
Vanessa's 26 years old today, and we wish her nothing but the best. And if she wants to come by the studio today and party,
that would be good.
We'll be here for her.
Yes, we would.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bean has long been in love with Tyra Banks. Just obsessed with, he talks to her like she's his lover, and she's dumb enough to play along and talk back, and Bean just, I love her. So we've been trying to convince him that she's awful. We brought in clips when she was going undercover as a stripper and then didn't strip.
Right.
We brought in clips of when she had a fat suit on, and then she took it off, and she was supermodel, sitting between two behemoths, and these two women were feeling sorry for her as she cried because of how she was treated.
Now, in my defense, though, the years that I was most in love with Tyra, she was a model. And
then
really,
she opened her mouth.
Even you have to admit, just a gorgeous, gorgeous woman. I mean, a fantastic body and a beautiful woman. And you've met her many times. A super nice lady, articulate, bright, great personality. And I loved her on America's Next Top Model, which I thought she was terrific on. And then she got the talk show. And I think the talk show may have been the tipping point where there was just maybe too many hours to fill.
Finally.
Too much
exposure. And maybe not every moment has been a moment that she or I can defend.
Finally, a crack in the levee of Bean's love. Very excited about that. So we're going to do another segment of Tyra Blows.
Tyra Banks really blows.
It pains me to hear you say that.
because you know how true it is. So Tyra, on her talk show, which she does daily, she had Kevin Federline on her show. Now, in a half hour, we're going to go over the sales numbers because Kevin Federline was saying he's going to sell 500,000 records in the first week.
Right.
And we had a huge pool, but we're going to do that in a half hour. What I want to focus on now is not so much Kevin Federline as how much Tyra blows. Okay. She's bad.
You're suggesting maybe it wasn't a 60 Minutes quality interview.
I'll let you make that choice. This is how she introduces. And by the way, let's all just keep in mind, no one cared about him one bit till he married Britney Spears.
Right.
And then the supposed rap career and everything else, his modeling
nice
and all
model,
that,
yeah.
Only care about him because, so he's just a douche. And he talks about how much money he has. He's just so hateable. But Tyra, when she brings him on, I guess this is a good get for her. So she really, really wants to sell it.
You have seen him in magazines and on TV, and you may think you know him. But you'll only be able to say that after you see him and hear him today. And we all know I'm talking about Mr. Kevin Federline.
Okay.
God, I hate the way she over-enunciates everything she says. Can she just get a voice coach to talk to her?
This is going to be the interview that is going to finally break wide open the enigma that is Kevin Federline.
Because people,
Tyra's got the skills to do it.
People are missing a lot about Kevin. They're not seeing him accurately. Yeah,
there's so much depth we're missing.
Now, as you know, he was a backup dancer for a lot of different people. And Tyra asks a very, very insightful question.
So you have been in the background. You were just dancing, and that reminds me of where your background, no pun intended, is. You were in the back of these famous singers, you know, supporting them, but now you're in the front. I mean, people are photographing you, they're talking about you, you have your own album. What does that feel like to go from the back to the front?
It's great.
Okay, thanks. That's the longest question and the shortest answer in the history of interviews.
By the way, really
if
I had Tyra, I'd be going from the back to the front.
Like, shut up.
You know what I'm saying? You know, you feel me?
Did you hear her question? What does it feel like to go from the background to the front? You know what? Not that fond of it. I'm really surprised that I got forced into it. What is he supposed to say?
It was better when I wasn't famous and had no money, Tyra, actually. Thanks for asking.
So then she says to him, what does Britney call you? Does Britney have any nicknames for you or anything? And he said, she calls me baby.
What is when she says baby, what does that mean?
She's just either calling me or trying to wake me up.
It's a term of endearment.
When she says baby, what does she mean by that?
Yeah, Kevin's not the guy who's going to make the interview pop, by the way, by taking lame questions and saving the interviewer.
Right, but we're not focusing on Kevin as much as we are Tyra.
Did no one give her a list of questions? Was this just completely a surprise to her that she was talking to this guy?
Would it ever occur to you to say, what does it mean when she calls you baby?
I don't even
know.
And then he says, she's trying to get my attention. So then here's my favorite question of the interview, because they were talking about the paparazzi and what a pain in the ass they are. And Tyra comes up with what for her, I believe, is the new gold standard.
If there were no laws to protect the paparazzi and you could do whatever the heck you wanted to do to them, what would you do?
Okay. Can you hear the glee in her voice? Can you hear this is such a meaty, juicy, fantastic question.
I can't believe I thought this up.
What would you do to them? And then K-Fed, like you said, who's not one to turn it around and make it good.
Let's see. I'd put them all in a big garbage dumpster and push them down La Cienega from the top of Sunset.
Yeah, that's what he'd do to them. He'd put them in the garbage pail.
I see a whole new side of K-Fed. This is so revealing.
I hope he gets his own talk show out of this.
Now,
This,
of course,
he could do as well.
This question, of course, was before Britney told him that she no longer needed his services. But that's why it's beautifully ironic.
What is the one thing that no one else but you can give Britney?
I don't know. I think there's so much stuff, you know, like. She likes the littlest things, you know. It's like for her birthday.
I want you to hear his answer, and then how Tyra tries to jump in and help him clarify it because we don't understand.
She doesn't want me to go and get her like this yacht or this car or this. You know, she doesn't want that. She wants me to go get her like these little knick-knack things, little babies.
Because those things come from the heart.
Yeah,
it's easy to buy something,
right.
But when you have to like make it and glue it together and do something yourself, it probably touches her heart.
Yeah,
she can buy anything, so she's like, "Show me your love. What you can do for me."
I'm sorry. I thought you asked me the question, Big Mouth.
I don't think the answer was.
was like he was pasting stuff together.
No, he wasn't. He's talking about my knickknacks.
She just jumped in. She just realized that he's full of nothing, so she just jumped in and answered her own goddamn stupid question.
Yeah, there's a disconnect going on in this interview on many levels.
I hate her. So then she finds out from KFED, hey, what TV shows do you like? Is it possible that you watch America's Next Top Model? And, of course, he says, yeah, yeah, we watch it.
You watch America's Next Top Model?
You know, my wife, she really likes to watch it, so she always catch myself sitting there, and she'll turn it on, and that's it. We're glued to the TV.
So she turns to the TV now, Tyra.
Oh, my gosh, Brittany, I love the fact that you watch America's Next Top Model. That is so cool. That is really cool. I need to give you, like, a secret shout-out. Something.
Definitely.
To let you know that we're watching you.
Seriously.
I don't get that.
Come on.
I don't get that at
Bean,
all.
Come on.
I mean, a lot of 25-year-old women watch America's Next Top Model. It's not really much of a surprise, but Tyra does seem to be overly enthusiastic about that.
So she's done with the interview part, and this is my final clip. She's done with the interview part, and now it's time for KFED to perform. And he's on stage, and he's really the paper tiger of rappers. I mean, he's the guy who claims the most and has the least. He's the Armenian comedian of the rap world. And this is how she introduces him.
The roof is about to be on fire because performing Privilege from his debut CD, Playing with Fire, it's Kevin Federline featuring Bosco.
That's right. The roof is about to be on fire, Bean.
That's right.
I want you to repeat after me. Tyra Banks blows.
Tyra is not always at her best.
Tyra Banks really blows. Tyra Banks really blows. Blows.
All right. As you know, KFED came out with his CD last week, and he predicted that it was going to sell 500,000 copies the first week.
Mm, yes.
Playing with Fire came out on Halloween, if I recall.
500,000 copies.
That's a lot, right?
Yes.
Well, in this environment, these days, yeah, superstars are lucky to sell 500,000. In fact, I think there's only been a couple this year that have sold that many. Beyonce, I know, was one of them. She sold between 500,000 and 600,000. And think about what a superstar she is and how anticipated that album was. And she sold a little over 500,000. How could KFED have reasonably expected that was going to be his debut?
My Chemical Romance did not sell 500,000 their first week.
Yeah, exactly.
And that CD is awesome.
Yeah.
So we've been waiting for today with bated breath. We've just really been looking forward to this because we had a pool with how many CDs we thought he would actually sell. He thought 500,000. Our guesses were Lisa guessed the most with 15,000.
Okay.
Which, by the way, is way less than 500,000.
It sure is.
Then it was Bean with 11,200. Then it was Dave, the King of Mexico, with, Psycho Mike had 13,000. Dave, 9,943. Lightning, 7,500. Ralph, 5,000.
5,000, for God's sakes.
Alex, our assistant producer, 3,000. And I guessed 2,999.
Because you'd think he could sell 5,000 just with radio stations buying it to, you know, make fun of it.
Well, you would think, yeah, but that's not the case. So I have the top 200 album sales, the list in my hand. The top 10 are Hannah Montana, which is number
hold
one.
On. You're suggesting that he did not debut in the top 10?
I didn't say that. I said here are the top 10.
Oh, okay.
Oh, okay. All right, so Hannah Montana, which is Billy Ray Cyrus's 13-year-old daughter, by the way, is number one again this week.
On the Disney Channel, and so all the kids like the Hannah Montana.
Okay.
Number two was Barry Manilow, Greatest Songs of the 60s.
Fantastic.
Gay. Number three
By the way, for context, though, these albums that we're talking about that are number one and number two sold a little over 200,000. That was the top seller this week, I think, was what was Hannah Montana, like 203,000, maybe something like that?
202,000.
So not only did KFED not sell 500,000, but the top two together didn't even sell 500,000.
Number three was Birdman and Lil Wayne, and they sold 176,000. Number four, John Legend. Okay. Number five, Justin Timberlake. Number six, My Chemical Romance at 326,000. So number seven, you would think, KFED? Nope, that's...
Got to be getting close.
The Who. Number eight, Meatloaf. Number nine, Kelly Pickler. Number 10, Deftones.
Kelly Pickler?
Yes.
Well, and then I mean, at least people have seen her sing. She was an American Idol contestant who a lot of people saw for a long time. And she's, you know, at least people know she's a singer.
She sold 80,000.
Okay.
So now we're going to jump down to number 14, Fergie, based basically on her song Fergalicious. Have you heard Fergalicious?
Oh, yeah.
That's awesome. Number 21, The Killers. We still haven't got to KFED yet. Number 29, Jeremy Camp.
Don't know who that is.
I don't even recognize the name. I don't know.
Who's he, Mike? Do you know?
No.
Number 34, High School Musical.
Now we're talking.
Then we skip down to number 42, Weird Al, in his, what, fifth week of release or something. Then we get down to number 50, K-Fed's not here yet, with Wow Hits. Wow Hits 2007.
Okay. It's one of those, now that's what I call music kind of compilations, where it's a bunch of singles that have been popular in the past year. So K-Fed, those of you just joining us, predicted 500,000 copies sold of his debut Playing With Fire, which would have easily put him at number one. So far, you're telling me, based on the chart, he's not in the top 50.
That's correct. Number 55 is Lil Boozy. I don't know what that is.
Some alcoholic midget.
Number 64 is Lionel Richie, Coming Home.
Oh, my God.
No K-Fed yet. So I'm searching and I'm searching. I get to number 72. There's Brooke Hogan.
Oh my God.
Hulk Hogan's daughter.
From the reality show. My God. So K-Fed selling less than Brooke Hogan at this point.
Then I get down to number 89, Gay Aiken.
Clay Aiken,
right. Then there's number 99, Trace Adkins.
That dude.
Come on.
Keeping perfect rhythm, make you wanna swing along. Got it going on.
That's gotta hurt.
Like Donkey Kong.
Come on, he's got it going on like Donkey Kong.
And how long has that been out?
Forever.
Months.
By the way, right?
It's not just K-Fed. Anyone who's selling fewer records than that has got to be hurting today.
So the top 100, there's no K-Fed. Number 101 is the Camilla All-Stars. Skipping down to number 116, the last Barry Manilow CD, the hits of the 50s.
Wow.
Now I'm looking, number 128.
And I know at this point, I know you, Kevin, you're thinking, well, I must have missed it. Yeah. You go back up and you start looking in the 20s again. He's got to be on here somewhere. Why isn't he on the chart?
With all that promotion and all the TV shows he did, all his performances.
Yeah.
Number 128, he's not there yet, but Disney's Radio Disney Party Jams is there. Then you go to number 135, Kids Bop Kids. That's where little kids sing popular songs.
Yes.
Number 137, I'm not kidding you when I tell you, is the Creed's greatest hits. Get down to number 150 on the list. It's Chris Young.
Come on.
Chris Young. And then at number 151, Kevin Federline.
Oh,
are you kidding me?
At number 151. Yay!
All right, here's the magic question we have to ask. You've heard the Kevin Abid players in the office pool. How many copies did Playing With Fire sell last week?
Now, it's whoever gets the closest, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
If I remember, it was the closest without going over.
It's not without
about.
Going over.
No,
we decided. So. It's just the closest.
Just whoever's closest. He sold 6,485 CDs.
Oh, my God.
6,500. 6,000. He said 500,000. He debuted at number 151.
Oh.
Missed it by that much.
How sweet is that?
Here with the Showbiz Beat right now. What's going on, Ralph?
Finally, we know where Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes are getting married.
Oh, this must be great
news.
I was
worried. Are they going to do it at the castle? Or are they going to do it at George Clooney's place? I didn't know. Couldn't sleep last night. I was tossing and turning. Thank God today Star Magazine has discovered where they will be wed. The tabloid reports the couple will be tying the knot at Giorgio Armani's estate in Portofino, Italy. Those are some nice digs.
Yeah.
Armani's place.
So.
Gotta
sure.
be. Yeah. The designer is also creating Katie's wedding dress and is dressing Tom as well, tailoring a custom-made suit for Tom.
Nobody cares.
They're probably going to keep this secret until they realize that Kate, Ed, and Brittany knock him off the pages. So they're like, let's tell them we're getting married.
Oh, we're getting our Armani wedding, and Armani's having us at his house to have it and dressing us. So now what? And he liked us now. Look at us. We're big stars. So, yeah. So it's all Armani all the time over there with Tom and Katie. Even Xenu will be dressed in Armani robes.
No kidding. Wow. Tom Cruise's third marriage, right?
Yes.
Okay. Pretty sure. Keeping track.
Sad news for Bob Dylan. The Broadway musical that was set to his music called The Times They Are A-Changin' is a-closin'. After just 28 performances, the show will shut down on November the 19th. Critics hated it, but at least audiences hated it.
So it's unanimous.
They had that going for him.
But at least he's not going to know that it's closing, so...
Why not?
Man, he's so out of it. No one will be able to explain it.
Just because you can't understand him doesn't mean he doesn't understand us.
Yes, it does.
It's only a one-way thing, you know. Lipstick.com, which is an entertainment news site, reports that they got a hold of Britney's cast iron prenup.
Mm-hmm. And they said he's not getting anything out of this.
Nothing?
No. Well, respectively, you know, in terms of
what she has.
Yeah, exactly.
Second half. Like
right. He's not making a big payday on this. Of course, he's getting some money, but...
I'm so happy about
that. They said this thing is just ironclad, one of the best prenups they've ever seen. The guy, the woman who drew it up is a woman named Laura Wassey, and she has defended both Angelina Jolie and Nick Lachey in their divorces, so this woman obviously knows what she's doing.
So you can come up with a prenup that supersedes the California state law of having to split it down the middle.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you can do anything you want in a prenup. And apparently she has. So.
He's done nothing but benefit from being her husband. So.
Absolutely. Yeah. Whatever he walks away with, it's going to be a win for
him. He's gotten way too much already.
Allegedly, though, they say he is going to argue for custody of the kids.
Yeah.
And they say that's an attempt to squeeze more money out of her. If you give me more, another couple million, then I'll let you have the custody and I won't.
If he's going to argue that in court, I want to be there when the judge laughs at him.
Kind of be screaming in the back, eating popcorn. You're an a-hole!
Ralph won the Kevin Federline office pool on the album sales.
Right.
Let's start a new office pool to predict the date that he impregnates the next woman.
Ooh,
oh, my God.
I like it.
That's a good one.
All right, we'll work on that one.
Last night, TMZ.com, our favorite entertainment news source, the website, had their one-year anniversary party.
Yeah.
And Shar Jackson was there.
No kidding.
Really?
The mama of Kevin Federline's first two babies. And couldn't get near her. Everybody was just wanted to talk to her and see how she was feeling. And she had a big smile on her face. So I'm assuming she was feeling pretty funny about what happened this week.
Oh,
I'm
sure.
Laughing out of her ass. Tears out of her butthole.
Maybe she was laughing that hard.
Hey, how was the Hammer last night? Was he partying down on the one-year anniversary of TMZ?
It's the first time I ever met Harvey the Hammer Levin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
He's not a black guy, by the way.
We've chatted a bunch of times.
What?
Yeah, Harvey's not black. A lot of people think he is.
He was.
Cool dude, isn't he?
He was boogieing. He was getting down. He was having a blast. It was a fun deal. So
one word you cannot use for Harvey is boogie.
He was boogieing. You don't know.
He has every right to be proud, by the way. There are a million entertainment sites, and they've only been around for a year, and they're pretty much the gold standard.
They are. Thank you, Mel Gibson.
Yeah, no kidding.
Mel wasn't there last night. We thought Mel might show up.
Oh, that would have been great.
Another show, but there was a midget, so that was good.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah.
Cool.
Not a party unless you have a midget.
That's right.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Robert David Hall, the actor who plays the chief medical examiner over there on CSI. He's 58 years old today. Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 37 years old today. Chris Jericho, the wrestler, is 36 years old today. Another big dude, Lou Ferrigno, bodybuilder and the Incredible Hulk from television's 54 years old today. Happy Monday, Lou. Nick Lachey, singer, is 33 years old today. Cisco, singer from the Thong Song, is 28 years old today. Vanessa Minnillo.
Yeah.
She, of course, from MTV and ET. She's 26 years old today. And my very own beautiful wife, Carrie, celebrates her birthday today. So I wanted to wish her a happy birthday, but she took the day off to celebrate her birthday, so she's probably not even up yet. So somebody tell her I said this when she gets up.
That's the way to do it.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
This is one of my favorite things that I look forward to every week, which is the live rendition that the Kevin and Bean morning staff does of the Lost theme song.
For your consideration.
You should see their faces. That's rather
funny. Very serious.
We're very earnest in our attempt to recreate that theme.
They really are.
Does it remind you of the monks that used to live next door, Ralph?
Yeah, actually it does.
So I'm warning you now in case you had plans for later today, if you were going to go to work or something like that. It's not going to be possible because Kevin is going to be hosting last night's Lost episode for
us. Well, after last week's debacle with Ralph, who does not fully appreciate the show anymore.
Hey, it wasn't my fault they put that episode on the air.
It has been yanked from his control and I will be doing it. Because I still appreciate the
show.
Because
you like it, yeah.
Yes.
You should be the one who does.
Wild Bill, good morning.
Hey, guys. Hey, I'm so so happy Bernard and Rose are out, you know, looking for all the kids on the island.
Yeah.
Isn't that nice? Yeah.
Remember them? They used to be on the show.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Well, that's what Lost is famous for, is introducing you to characters that you grow to care a great deal about and then never mentioning them again.
And ignoring them.
Yeah.
Wonder how Michael and Walt are doing in the open seas.
Yeah, I'd be interested
to know. They're all right. Hope they're good across the ocean okay.
All right, so this episode begins, and this, by the way, is the finale for this.
The fall finale.
The fall finale until February.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
And there was so much buildup, you know, there's going to be these major revelations. And
Nothing will be the same again.
That's right. Nothing will be the same. And by the way,
everything's the same.
As an aside, yeah, because nothing really happened. As an aside, Bill, you're not allowed to email us before February, okay? I don't want any more of your goddamn emails where you count down to when Lost comes back on the air.
Oh, all right.
Hey, only 44 days. We don't need them.
All right. I got to find something to do for 91 days.
Just makes it hurt all that much more. So if you remember last week, Jack saw the x-rays of Ben.
Right.
And he realizes that he's going to die. He's got a tumor on his spine. So at the beginning of this episode, he tells Ben that the tumor's going to kill him if he's not if he doesn't operate within a week. And Ben is very excited to accept that help.
All right, then. Whatever you need, it's yours. I'm ready.
No, I think you misunderstood me. I didn't say I was going to do it. I just wanted you to understand how you're going to die.
Nice.
Yes.
Burn.
In your face.
I'm not going to operate on you. Die, mother effer, die.
I hate Ben.
Isn't that awesome?
Do they have no way to get off the island to seek qualified medical attention?
Nope.
I guess not. Okay.
That submarine? Don't get in that. Just wait and die.
Except to maybe another island.
Nope. Just stay on the island and die.
Those people who are dropping off the videos of the Red Sox, don't go back with them.
Don't ask them for help.
Nope. A brand new washer and dryer,
no.
But can't get you medical attention.
No, just die.
It's all on the people on the island who hate you. They have to operate.
If they don't drop a surgeon onto your island, you are screwed.
So then it starts into the Kate backstory, and she's in love with a guy named Kevin.
Oh,
hard to believe.
That backstory last night. Did we need it?
No.
No. Nothing new there. Nothing
sorry.
New.
I thought I saw Kate having sex with a guy. That was pretty good for me. Twice.
That's
we
true.
Had it with Sawyer. We didn't need it with the cop boy.
Oh, Ralph.
Now we found out she was married.
So they find out that she's marrying a cop, and she's having sex
on
the day before her wedding
day.
And she's on the run from the law, right. Now, I'm sorry to have to ask this question because I'm the one hosting, but who's the chick that ran out saying, don't believe him, don't believe him, they killed my boyfriend?
That's,
who is that?
Russo's daughter.
Yes.
Russo's daughter, okay.
Yeah.
And she's running out there, and Kate and Sawyer are outside, and she wants to warn them.
Listen, whatever they say, don't believe them. They're going to kill your boyfriend. Just like they killed mine.
Her boyfriend was the guy in the cage across from Sawyer when they first locked him up in the bear cages.
Yep.
Yeah.
Whatever they
didn't we hear them torturing Carl?
That's right.
Yeah,
yes.
Pretty much. Yeah. So whatever you do, don't believe them. They lie. They will kill him.
And I thought it was classic that she comes, hurtling out of the jungle with that slingshot.
Yeah. That's
gonna really
the deadly slingshot. She drops like three guys.
Yeah,
too.
I know. Three guys who have guns, by the way.
So they convince Kate that they are going to kill Sawyer. But she could do a little something for him if she wants to, and that's to help Jack, to help convince Jack that he needs to do the surgery. So they bring her in, and there's a glass partition between her and Jack. Jack's very happy to see her, and she tells him that he has to do the surgery.
You have to do it. She said that if you do it, then that they would...
What did they do to you?
Jack.
What did they do to you?
Nothing.
How did they get you to ask me?
Jack,
what did they offer you?
Nothing.
Then what are you doing here?
They're gonna kill Sawyer.
Yeah.
Now, remember, this is the guy that she left Jack for, pretty much, right? I mean, that was the threesome on
the
island.
Well, it's always been kind of a triangle.
Which one is he? Which one is she going to go for?
Right.
So Jack should just say, fine, I'm fine with that. So he did.
And that's how it was, like, the first two seasons. Jack could really, give a crap about Sawyer, Sure, right. he sewed him up a couple times, but, it was like, you can die. I don't care.
Yeah. Right. Not a problem there.
Rest in peace. Mr. Echo.
So they start to bury Mr. Echo, and this is Block. Thank you.
Yeah.
And he's driving a stake through Mr. Echo's heart. I don't know why, but
no, he's putting it's a gravestone there.
Gravestone.
A grave marker, yeah.
But it's he's got the stick.
Prayer
he's
stick.
Got his prayer stick, and on the end of it, something catches his attention.
Thank you for helping me find my...
Wait, he reads something on the prayer stick. And it says on the prayer stick, it's etched in, lift up your eyes and look north.
Hmm. Yeah, it's in the three episodes, too, when Locke first read it.
Well, and right underneath it says, John...
3:5.
3:5. So lift up your eyes and look north, John...
35.
Is that his age?
You should do it on March the 5th, apparently, when you should do that.
Right.
Yes.
So meanwhile, we go back to the Kate story, and she's married to this cop, and now she's getting groceries. She walks out to a phone booth. She calls the U.S. Marshal Service, and she says to the guy, please stop chasing me. Please just give it up. I love this guy. I want to live in peace with him. Please stop chasing me. And he says pretty much no.
Yeah.
Not going to do that. Not going to do that.
And do we need to mention that she's going by Monica, not Kate?
She is going by Monica. Yeah, the guy has no idea who she is,
her
obviously.
Her husband, yeah.
Yeah. So then she decides that maybe she should tell her cop husband what's going on.
Ain't on our island. We're on another island like an Alcatraz.
And that's not the clip from that.
No.
So she tells, well, she does tell her husband that she is on the run. Her name isn't Monica, and she drugs him because she doesn't want him to be responsible.
She doesn't want taco night.
She doesn't like taco night. She really, really hated taco night.
Doesn't want a baby. Well, then don't get married.
I do feel like Ralph pointed out that we've seen this backstory almost identically with Kate in the past. We've seen her change her name before. We've seen her on the run before. We've seen the interaction with the marshal before when they're trying to catch her. I didn't understand what the point of all of that over again last night was.
It added nothing to the episode.
Why are all of you gay? I could watch that every week because Kate's in it. She's Kate. She's having sex. She's looking hot.
We needed to know she doesn't like tacos. Okay, that's an important plot point later next season.
So she comes back and she climbs out of her cage, which is very, very simple for her.
Yes.
The third time she's done it, by
just
the way.
Climbs out of the cage, no problem. And then she knocks the lock off of Sawyer's cage.
Which
and she says,
easy.
They're going to kill you. They're going to kill you. You have to go. And then he says,
we ain't on our island. We're on another island, like an Alcatraz, a couple miles offshore. So unless you're a mermaid or you got a boat, there ain't no point.
When were you planning on telling me this?
Never.
Why not? Why wouldn't you?
Because I wanted you to believe that we had a damn chance.
So they fall into each other's arms and have sex.
Yeah. Nothing says sexy like a little jungle stank on you.
Yeah. Instead of running, they stay in his cage and have sex.
Sure.
Thank you.
Right. Well, there's no point in running. There's nowhere they can go.
Oh, thank God the pacemaker's out.
What?
You know, and what? No one's watching them on the monitor?
Oh, yeah.
There's cameras everywhere. That's,
that's right.
By the way,
Ben's got his pants around his ankles, trust me, watching that show.
That's true. So a little bit later in the show.
If I were a betting man, I would have picked her and you.
Shut up.
Now, this is when Jack has been let out of his cage, oddly enough, and he walks over to a closet that has weapons, oddly enough, and then he walks into the control room, oddly enough, and he sees all the TV screens so he can see what's going on.
Was he set up, or do you guys think Russo's daughter got him out somehow?
I think it was Alex, you know, on the intercom. The door's unlocked.
It said the door's unlocked, yeah.
The door's unlocked.
Or it was Julia, and he was set up just to let him out. But either way, he's got a lot of guns.
So he grabs a pistol.
That's when I start blasting my way out of the tank.
He grabs a pistol, and right at that moment, Ben shows up and says, if I were a betting man, I would have thought she'd be with you. And he doesn't want to hear that because he's watching Kate and Sawyer on the TV screen. He's not happy at all.
Tomorrow morning, first thing, I'll get it out. Your tumor. And I'll keep you alive. But I need your word. I need to get the hell off this island. Done.
Not much of a music build up there.
So just him, by the way?
Yes, just him at this point. Yeah. Okay. So he's just promising Jack that he can get off the island. Jack's going to do the surgery. So then...
Had a gun, by the way. Did I mention that? Jack had a gun.
He had a gun. He had a pistol.
A loaded gun.
And he didn't shoot him.
And several high-powered rifles, too, also in that closet.
Yeah.
But what he did do was say that he's going to do surgery on him. Listen to me. I've got a gun. I'm going to do surgery on you, mother.
I was going to let you die, but now where I can kill you, I won't. Instead, I'm going to save your life because I've got a gun now. What? Remember when I was going to cut somebody's throat with a broken plate and kill her to get out? But I won't use this gun. I'll operate on you.
So then the others are sitting upstairs where they have a convenient viewing room because it's a full operating room, don't you know, on the island.
Yeah.
And they're watching, and when Ben goes under the knife, they decide to take things into their own hands.
Let's go.
Ben's just gone into surgery.
Ben just put his life in the hands of one of them. Shepard wasn't on Jacob's list.
Shepard was not on Jacob's list.
That's right.
Is that like
what's that?
Doctor? I don't know.
What that means.
All right, you're on my list.
What's that mean, Wild Bill? What's the Jacob's list all about?
My guess is Jacob was the guy with the eye patch last week.
Is he the guy?
We haven't met Jacob yet.
Is he over everybody then? Is that what we take from that? Because he had the list? Because
I think Ben is just the assistant manager on the island, and Jacob runs the place.
He's the general manager.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
exactly. Gotcha. So Jack is watching very closely during surgery, and when nobody's looking, he makes a little extra cut. And things start going bad for Ben.
What happened? Is he okay?
His blood pressure's dropping. Should he be bleeding like that?
No,
he shouldn't.
Back away from the table.
Jack.
Back away from the table! Now!
So Jack beats up one of the doctors. He yells at the nurse to back away from the table. And now he realizes he's got their attention because the guy's laying on the table dying.
Right.
So he calls down the dude with the beard that doesn't have the beard with the beard. Right. That guy from the top.
Mr. Friendly.
Mr. Friendly, yeah. And he brings him down and he explains to him exactly what's going on.
I just made a small incision in Ben's kidney sac. Now, if I don't stitch that back up in the next hour, he's dead.
He's dead. If I don't do it in the next hour.
The night before, and he could still be dead. But
that is true, yeah.
And God knows, no one there can make sutures. Who could sew up a small incision? That's got to be... Oh, wait, she's a doctor. Maybe she could do it.
Stitches in there. Yeah. So then he takes the walkie-talkie, and he says, give the walkie-talkie to Kate. The guy's just about to kill Sawyer. And he gets to him just in time, and they start talking on the walkie-talkies.
Do you remember what I told you on the beach? The day of the crash. Do you remember what story I told you when you were stitching me up? Do you remember it?
Yes, yes, I remember.
When you get safe, you radio me and you tell me that story. If I don't get a call from you in the next hour, I'm going to know something went wrong and he dies. Go.
Yes, I did.
Go, now.
I can't.
He did it, what?
Boom, screen goes black. We have to wait till February.
That has changed everything.
It did change everything last night. That's true. So Ben's on the operating table. He's just about to die. Kate and Sawyer are going to run.
To nowhere.
To nowhere.
Sure. And Jack doesn't know they're on an island, right?
Yeah, that's
Kate
correct.
Does.
And yeah. Where's Penny Whitmore?
Who?
Excuse me?
I don't even know who that is. What are you talking about?
You know, I mean, all the buildup from the season, the second season finale, if you will, you know, after the explosion and everything, you know, they introduced more characters.
All right, I'm
it
lost.
Doesn't go anywhere.
Yeah, like, where's Desmond's girlfriend who found him with the guys in the weather station?
In the plane, you know, over Antarctica.
Oh, is everyone turning on this show? Am I the only one that still likes
well, they keep,
I mean, there's
they
a lot
keep,
of
like
yanking
it.
Our chains.
What did we learn in the first 6 weeks?
Guys, they've been yanking our chains since episode one.
No, but every other episode or so, they would drop you a piece of information that really expanded on what the hell was going on. What's happened in the past 8 weeks could have been covered in two episodes. Seriously.
You know, in the 6 weeks, we learned that maybe Desmond can see the future, allegedly, and that Jacob has a list.
Yeah, he does have a list. That's true.
Kevin, so, the reason...
Okay, you're on my list.
You and I still like it is we have terrible memories, and we don't remember all that other stuff, so it doesn't matter.
Oh, it makes it so much better, because every show is great.
I know. I'm enjoying the hell out of it.
Some information.
It's like being introduced to the characters all over again.
Exactly.
But that's what was cool about the first two seasons. I mean, they're in survival mode and everything, and I don't know. I like the backstories, but this first 6 weeks, I didn't like the direction it's going.
Well, and they're repeating backstories, too, like the one from Kate last night.
It's
perfect example.
The whole thing with Monica, Kate, you know?
Hey, listen, we're out of time, but Bill, have a great Thanksgiving, a good Christmas, and Happy New Year to you, and Valentine's Day, and we'll talk to you next year, okay?
91 days.
February 7th, is it?
I believe so, 7th, yeah.
February 7th before it comes back.
Yeah.
That guy's going to be in surgery for a long, long time.
He's going to bleed out.
16 straight episodes.
Cannot wait. 16 straight episodes on February 7th. I played a poker night every other week, and I've played a decent amount of poker. I played a decent amount of blackjack. I've never seen what happened on the last time that we played, which was this past Monday night, which is I got every single hand possible. I was there for 3 hours, and somehow and let me explain to you what happened. First of all, let me bring onto the air Ray Romano. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning.
Ray has these poker nights at his house because he's burned through all his money, and he's, you know, he needs to make some income.
I'm unemployed.
Right.
Ever since Ray's show got canceled, I mean, I felt bad for him. It's been sad.
I have to find ways. I'm having a little garage sale this afternoon.
Now we play Texas Hold'em, and let me explain to you how it works. So, and then you tell me how it's possible to have an entire night of good luck. Because to me, mentally, I cannot. Put it together.
Wow, that's never happened to me.
I know. We have a dealer that doesn't play. Okay. Same dealer all the time. We have two decks of cards. Somebody's always shuffling one deck. And when one hand is finished, they get a brand new deck of fully shuffled cards. They also start with a different player every single time they start dealing.
Okay.
So there's no other way you could really make it more random.
Well, you got to also add the fact that you're not that good either.
That's true. That is true.
So, that good a player, which has made it more frustrating.
So all steps are being taken to make sure that there's no hanky-panky, there's nobody cheating, there's no way that any single player could get an advantage during the game. I gotcha.
And the entire night, if somebody had three queens, I had three kings. If somebody had a flush that went queen high, I had a flush that went king high. It was...
Wow.
I'll tell you what else sucks.
I started feeling really bad because I was like, my God, I'm getting every hand. I'm taking everybody's money.
No, but what else sucked was not only did you take her money, you started out the night saying, I got to leave early, guys. I got to get up at 3:30.
Right.
You know, so you took our money and we kept playing. You had all the money and left.
That is true. That is true. I left
Kevin,
about.
I don't think you're allowed to do that.
Yeah, I think when you're up that much money,
yeah, you gotta stay.
I did notice some real ugly stares as I was leaving with all their money.
You know, in the West, you get shot for doing that. I've seen it in movies.
Here's what happened. I started with $200, and my luck was so consistently good that I ended up with $2,200.
Oh my God!
By the way, don't tell your wife is listening. Right? Tell her not to tell my wife. I tell her we have a male book club.
Okay, all right. What book should I say we were reading?
I don't know. Make something not gay.
Okay. Yeah.
So not Gone with the Wind.
Yeah.
Ray, what were the guys around the table saying as Kevin got the 10th good hand and then the 11th good hand and then the 20th good hand?
Nobody really. Well, we were all like in amazement then, but when you left, is when everybody started talking about you.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah, you know? I'm sure. And what were they saying? Because I wasn't there clearly.
Well, first of all, you know, it's the old, I got to get up early. By the way, I had to get up at 6:45 for a dermatologist appointment.
Wow.
I won't tell you what it was for.
We didn't ask.
But it was below the belt. Right after.
I'll tell you what it's for. Let's just say, you know the saying, what happens in Vegas stays in Vegas?
Right.
Yeah, well, some stuff comes home with you.
Sometimes it doesn't.
Hey, Ray, did anyone get Kevin's good luck when he left the table?
Yeah, I sat in the seat. I moved over in that seat, and I got this amazing look. We had another tournament. We had a tournament after he left, you know, a buy-in. I don't know if you know Texas Hold'em, but whatever. And I actually won the tournament after you left.
Really?
You sat in your seat, and it was...
You didn't need the seat because there were plenty of chairs. You sat in my seat because of my luck?
Well, first of all, your ass print kind of fits mine. You know?
I'm very upset that you know that.
Yeah. And, no, we actually wanted to just to consolidate, to move closer, you know?
Sure.
So there was an empty seat there, so I moved over to you. I said, well, let me try your seat out. And by the way, I got this amazing retarded luck, too. I was supposed to lose. I sucked out on this last card, and I won. I beat the...
It was the chair.
So my question is, it was the chair, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Somebody explained to me with random cards how I can destroy all night.
That's why we're still wondering if cheating is a possibility.
Kevin is not nearly bright enough to cheat. Come on, you know that, Ray. Ray, I'm interested in your opinion as a guy who obviously knows cards and plays a lot of cards, and we are going to open it up to the callers at 1-800-520-1067. If you've got a theory on how one guy's luck can be so good for so many hours in a row, what do you think it is, Ray?
No, I mean, that's just cards, man. Sometimes you just get... But really, I'm not kidding, and this is no offense, Kevin.
No, go ahead.
You're not the best player there. He would go in with like a pair of fours when there was an ace, king, queen on the board, and you know this guy raising must have at least a pair of kings, a queen, or an ace. He would go in, and then he would suck out on the last card and get a third four. You know,
I would. Yeah, it was just ridiculous. I could bet anything I wanted, and I would always get the cards I needed consistently.
Did you start doing crazy stuff, Kevin?
Yes.
Just because you knew it was going to work for you, you were up so much you could afford to lose a hand.
We started at about 6:30. I left at about 10, and I got all of the good hands. And I honestly don't understand how that happens.
Plus, you were eating like you were the only one. You know, this was my turn to host, so I had to put a spread out, and you were the only one. You had a plate of food there the whole night. You weren't really paying attention. You were fucking food in your face.
I was watching the football game, too, the Monday night football game.
And the added factor was that this guy's leaving in a half an hour.
Yeah.
Making us more mad.
So I took all the money.
Exactly.
Ray, how do you think it's possible with random shuffling and random dealing that everybody doesn't pretty much get kind of the same amount of good hands and bad hands and you just make the best out of it?
Well, you do, but it's lower average. It's just, if you stay long enough, you'll get... Look, I was getting crap hands all night, so that was a fluke, too, that I wouldn't get a good hand all night. It's just sometimes you get bad cards, sometimes you get good cards.
Until I left.
But I'm the thing.
Yeah.
A good player can still win... Even if he's not getting good cards, because it's all about bluffing, and you know, when you're playing all in, when you're playing no limit poker,
and you
can raise a guy all in, you can still win with nothing in your hand, but not against Kevin, because Kevin's la di da, I'll go in, and he's supposed to lose that hand, And he wouldn't lose that hair.
I wouldn't lose, no.
Yeah.
So
I'm not able to explain. I think I understand what's going on, but I don't have the verbal skills or the math skills to explain that it is, and I may be just expanding upon what Ray is saying, it really is random. It's just that we noticed because of the cards that you got that were winners.
I guess.
But the cards that are bad are equally as random. The odds are just as good that you're going to get those bad cards as you're going to get the good cards.
But the consistently part is what kills me, because I go to Vegas and you play blackjack or whatever, and you'll get a shoe, like six decks or whatever, they'll go through them. You have been on an incredible run, but then the next shoe you're demolished again. It's right. Just it's not consistent. It's never consistent.
Are you terrified about next Monday night you play, Kevin?
Yes.
Are you terrified about what's going to happen?
Yeah, next time it's all going to even out.
Oh, I'm sure.
What's that?
Just a little unrelated thing. What's going on in my house right now?
Okay.
Whenever I do these phone calls with you, I go in my closet. Mm-hmm. Right. I'm in my closet right now, and my kids are supposed to be on their way to school. You know, and my wife just opened the door and says, "Where's that, Greg?" My twins are missing in my house right now.
Well, you better go. We'll let you go then, Ray.
By the way, I got custody of Matt and Greg, and I also got custody of Brad Garrett in the game. It was really odd.
No, you can't break it up. It's set.
But he's mine now, so.
Exactly.
All right, Ray, hey, thank you.
Great to talk to you,
this
dude.
This ain't going to happen next time. We'll call next time, and we'll see what happens.
No, we don't need to call next time. Thanks now.
Yeah, all right.
Bye. All right, 1-800-520-1067. Honestly, honest to God, and I'm the one who had the good luck, I don't get it. I do not. I would look at my cards and go, how? This is awesome, but how?
Was it the best night you've ever had, though, where you having just so much fun?
It was so stupid, and everybody hated me, because I would always top them by just one stupid card. So we'll take your calls, 1-800-520-1067 next.
All right, we're only going to have time for a couple of phone calls because we do have a Red Hot Chili Peppers song that demands to be played coming up next here on K-Rock. But we're talking about, if you're just joining us, Kevin was at a poker night the other night where he got all the good cards. He didn't just sort of win. He obliterated the table with every single hand. It seems like it's not possible. It was random. How did it happen? 1-800-520-1067. Harvey and Tustin, you say you can explain the winning streak.
Yes, there's basically two concepts. Number one, as Ray was pointing out earlier, if you set up a table with nothing but professional poker players like myself, we know what is happening in every single scenario possible.
Right.
We can guess approximately about 30% of the time what you have in your hand. Now, when you're playing with a beginner, it's a completely different story. Because a beginner will tend to actually see every card. See, if I were to be sitting at a table with other professionals, I wouldn't even need to look at my card in order to win. Whereas you...
Because you read other people? You mean you read the other people instead of the cards?
Exactly.
Yeah.
But Harvey, Kevin's not a beginner. Kevin's been playing for years and years and years pretty regularly.
I'm not as bad as Ray made it sound, but I'm not an expert by any stretch of the imagination. And I've played a lot of cards. I've never seen it so overwhelmingly in my favor, though. I mean, every single time I needed to have something, I got it. How does that work? How does it work, Harvey?
You played it right. I mean, the cards were lying in your way. I can honestly say that you would beat anybody on that level, just based on the fact that you got flukes.
But 3.5 or 4 hours of straight flukes. That was awesome.
That does happen sometimes, Harvey, right?
You to Vegas.
Does it happen that often,
even in professional players' games, people get on streaks.
You have better nights and you have streaks, but this wasn't a streak. This was, I sat down and got all the cards and left.
Well, if you'd stayed like you're supposed to, you probably would have lost it all.
Well, that's probably true, too. Thank you, Harvey, for the call.
If you'd have been in Vegas, Kevin, and you'd have had the potential to really make big money and you were as hot as you were, what do you think would have ended up happening? Do you think you would have gone too far and blown it all?
I think probably I wouldn't have been so bold in my betting if I were in Vegas, because I'd be too worried about losing too much money and all that kind of stuff.
Right. Because you guys were playing for $20 a hand or something.
Chips.
Right?
We had chips and there was no money. I mean, don't get me wrong. There was no money.
Todd, that'd be illegal and wrong.
Todd and Carson, good morning.
Hey guys, wah wah wee wah. Hey Lisa, man.
Hi Todd.
you have an explanation for us?
This is what it comes down to. Kevin's that guy. He's just that guy. You know, at the party, that guy, you always pointing at just that guy. Well, at the poker table, he's that guy. He's the guy that's retarded luck, as Ray said. It's just, he sits down and everything comes his way. You can't read him. He just chases to the river and catches something, sucks out, and everybody kind of whispers themselves, oh, it's that guy.
Yeah.
But you say that guy as if it's a bad thing. It sounds like it's the thing to be.
No, that guy is a negative, derogatory term in this sense.
Even when you walk out the door at 11 o'clock with $2,000?
Even more so. You're that guy that sits there and goes, hey, guys, I can only play for a couple hours. I know. Leave, and then takes everybody's money.
But oh, I did tell them ahead of time that I had to leave early. Does that make any difference?
It makes it worse.
Oh.
It makes it worse.
All right. So I should have stayed longer?
Long enough to lose.
Kevin, retarded luck.
I don't like the emphasis on retarded that you're putting there,
It'll
Todd.
It'll never happen again.
Oh, how are you not used to that emphasis by now, Kevin?
7:58 now, and time for the Ralph Showbiz Beat.
Well, I get my first story, as I do most of my entertainment stories, from the Moscow Times.
Oh, yeah. You rely heavily on them.
Oh, I get so much good information from the Moscow Times. Apparently, Russian authorities have announced that they are banning the film Borat
really?
From being shown in the great Russian movie theaters.
Oh, that is awesome.
Here is the statement from Yuri Vaskushchikov.
Well, he's good.
Yes, he does good work. The film contains material that some viewers may consider offensive to certain nationalities and religions. Exactly. That's why it's awesome. The ban of the movie Borat, Cultural Learnings of America to Make Benefit Glorious Nation of Kazakhstan, will be one of the first non-pornographic movies ever banned in Russia since the breakup of the Soviet Union.
Congratulations to him.
Thank you. I like you. I like sex.
You've seen the movie. No, there's a little porno in there, actually.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, it makes you cover your eyes at some point.
Yes, it does.
Just because Sacha Baron Cohen depicts Borat as a misogynistic, Jew-hating, gypsy-hating, wife-beating Kazakh journalist who depicts his country as a country that likes to drink horse urine and are fond of rape, incest, and shooting dogs does not mean that the people of Russia should be...
What's the problem there?
Should not be able to enjoy this film as we here in America have.
Yeah, they're trying to make it sound like some of those things are negative.
I know.
It always amazes me that when a guy comes along like that, who is clearly doing that on purpose to get laughs, people still decide they have to be offended.
Yeah. He goes out of his way to say, look, this is not a real guy. It's not a real person. We're not even dramatizing it as if it's a fictional story. It's a complete goof.
Yep.
I'm doing this for a very specific reason. And people still choose to see the trees for the forest.
Well, Lisa May, if you don't go see that movie this weekend, you're not allowed to come in on Monday.
I will go.
What's wrong with you?
I was sick. Get off my ass.
It's not heavy lifting. You're sitting there watching a movie.
No, maybe I don't want to spread the disease to everyone.
No one's asking to bench press anything.
Everyone.
Just sit down and have some popcorn and watch a movie.
First of all, we're never going to get off your ass. And second of all, Psycho Mike hasn't seen it either, by the way.
Well, he's equally wrong and equally bad.
He's wronger.
Yes, he is, because he wasn't sick.
Exactly. Lindsay Lohan was on Oprah Winfrey on Tuesday, and she said she so hates her reputation as a party girl. She says, I'm 20 years old. Is it a crime to go dancing with your friends?
No.
Depends on where you're dancing, I guess.
It is unbelievable that she's only 20. Doesn't it seem like she's been famous your whole life?
Well, she's been rid hard and put away wet, as they say, down south.
Yeah.
She's looking a little worse for wear these days, quite frankly.
Did Oprah grill her or support her with softballs?
Oh, softballed her all the way. She was there to promote her new movie, Bobby. Bobby, Bobby, Bobby.
That's supposed to be good, isn't it?
It's supposed to be great. I don't know about her performance in it, but Joshua Jackson's also in the film from Dawson's Creek. Remember him?
Yes.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure. The Mighty Ducks guy, yeah.
And he has nothing but good things to say about Lindsay. He was interviewed about the movie as well. They worked in it together, and he said she's a sweetheart. She was very professional on the set. But he thinks that she's having a hard time because she's in, as he says, the eye of the storm all the time. We expect too much from her privately. We want her to be sexy, but then demure on demand. No, just want her to stop drinking illegally underage.
Did he at all mention her?
Fire crush.
I don't believe he did.
It's disgusting.
Hit it, Steve.
Go back to your cheap motel. You fire crotch. A stinky beaver.
Yeah. I was very disappointed that Oprah did not ask her about her fire crotch during
the
interview.
Me too. So, is your crotch really fiery? That would be a great question. And she looked under her skirt to check it out. Can I see your crotch? Last night, part 132 of Entertainment Tonight's interview with Anna Nicole Smith.
They're breaking them up into one-word segments now.
It's brutal how they are milking this minor interview for all of the publicity it's worth as we get into November sweeps. Mark Steinis, of course, sat down with her at her home. That's not her home. In the Bahamas. Some guy bought it, and she's living there. But they ask her a great many questions. What did they ask her last night, Bean?
Well, last night, the focus, as advertised, was on this paternity, this other dude.
What do you think about this? Who's the father?
Who's the father, right? So last night, all they showed on that was Howard's the father, of course. And tonight is when she's actually going to tell us what she thinks about this other guy who's claiming that he's the father.
Larry Burkhead.
Yeah, so they did break that question up into two parts. Anna, also tonight, we'll be talking about why she hates her mom.
Wow.
And last night, she had a wish, what she'd like to see happen with her young family now, what her request is of the world.
So the bottom line is, it's our child. Please give us respect and leave us alone. Let us raise our child and let us be happy. Everybody, quit beating us down.
I'm sorry, who made her do this interview?
Please, we don't want any attention. We don't want any attention focused on us and our baby on entertainment tonight.
Thumbs up from her hospital bed.
Yes, and sending in pictures of her collapsed lung.
Oh,
exactly,
for
yes.
God's sake.
Of her drawing of her collapsed lung.
It's an artist rendering.
Right.
Why does she want her spice, too, by the way? What, is she missing spices down there in the Bahamas?
A spice.
Does she...
Give
us our spice.
I think that
we
means space.
Want our spice. Oh,
you
we
and I
need
would say
some
space.
Paprika. Give us some coriander.
My favorite part of her quote, though, is I want people to stop beating us. Pause, pause, pause. Down.
Oh, Anna, we hardly knew ye. Now we know too much about you.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays, Vanessa Minnillo. TV personality from MTV and ET. She's 26 years old today. I wish she'd go over to The Insider, too. I'd like to see her on that show. Because she could cover some more medical freaks.
She weighs too much. She can't go on The Insider.
But
you got to be
interview the anorexia twins from Australia. Are they still skinny? Well, let me guess. It's on The Insider. No, I think they're healthy. I think they look good now. I think they're fine. That's why you're talking to them.
Well, tonight, Ralph, we find out on The Insider how much the anorexic twins weigh a year later since The Insider broke their story wide open.
Thanks, Barry. In 8 minutes on The Insider, we count their ribs.
Freaking Pat O'Brien. Cisco. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's 28 years old today. Nick Lachey is 33 years old. It's got to be his best birthday ever, Nick Lachey, right?
Oh, yeah.
Without having a harp in his ear. Chris Jericho, the wrestler, is 36 years old today. Peppa of Salt. Peppa is 37 years old today. Lou Ferrigno, the Incredible Hulk, is 54 years old today. And Robert David Hall, who plays the chief medical examiner over there on CSI, is 58 years old today. And as I mentioned before, in case she's awake now, my lovely wife, Carrie, also celebrates her birthday today. So I wanted to say happy birthday to you, honey, unless you're still sleeping. In that case, get out of bed! God, I hate it when she's sleeping in and I'm working. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Fantastic. Are we ready to talk to the man?
Yes, we are. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a phone conversation with Bob Toe.
It's Bob Toe.
How are you doing?
We are good. Now, Bob, formerly known as Doe?
Yeah.
We got an email from you saying that you wanted to stop your participation in the Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin Bean, I did thought about that, but I don't think I'll retire any soon, Kevin Bean.
Oh, thank God. I was so nervous. What prompted you to ever write to us, Doto, your biggest fans, the guys who have done more for you than anyone in the world, and suggest that maybe you didn't want to be on our show anymore?
Well, the reason why I thought about that is because I thought that usually when a person grows older, then they usually wanted to move on to do other avenues, Dean.
Right.
But you want to make it in the entertainment business, right, Doto?
I hope that day will come soon, Bean.
Okay. Then why would you ever jump off of a radio show that gives you exposure and gives you the potential to be heard by people who can help your career?
I just really didn't thought, Bean.
I have the answer to that question, Bean, and that is because he's focusing so much of his attention on other avenues, movies and comedy. He's out there putting out all the feelers, going to, you know, all kinds of different meetings. He doesn't have time anymore.
I think all Doe is doing is just talking to us on the phone when we call. I think that's the extent of what he's doing to make it in the world of show business.
Hey, Kevin, can I there's something that's on my mind, Kevin. Can I tell you something, Kevin?
Yes, Bob. Yes, Bob. Yes, Bob.
A couple weeks ago, you told me that for a guy my size and my height, like different nationalities of girls does not matter, and I'm pretty open-minded to any nationality, Kevin, being in terms of dating.
Oh, okay.
Was there a question?
Wow, that was a hard right.
I speak Doe, if you don't mind. He's saying that we were telling him that he shouldn't quite be so picky about...
Yeah, the thing is, I did thought about Kevin, and hey, since this is the 21st century, you can't always be too picky. You have to be somewhat flexible, Kevin.
Exactly. So you're no longer looking for an Asian woman that's 5'8", 5'9"?
5859 is still my preference, but in terms of nationality, I don't think that's really important, Kevin.
Okay, so you no longer want a Korean woman.
It would be nice, but you can't always get everything you want live, Kevin.
That's correct. Listen, Doe is growing up right in front of our eyes.
It is true. You don't want to limit yourself. But on the other hand, Doe, it would be best for you to be with somebody that you're very attracted to, whose physical type you find exciting and sexy, right?
Because in the 1920s and 30s, people are pretty rigid. But in 2006, Kevin, you can't always be too rigid. You have to be somewhat flexible.
That is a good point. Sure. That's a good point, Doe. One of the things that you wrote in your emails was a little troubling to us. And we're a little bit upset that you forgot a certain part of your commitment to us. Because you wrote you wanted to stop being on the Kevin and Bean Show. And you don't have any kind of a legal obligation to continue being on our show?
Well, the reason why I wrote that is because I was just drinking too much coffee.
Okay.
But I think what Kevin is saying is it made it sound in the email when you were talking about quitting on us that you didn't remember the contract that you signed with us that promises you to appear for as long as there is a Kevin and Bean show. Do you remember when you signed that?
Did I sign that, Kevin?
Yeah. You know what? We were afraid you wouldn't remember. So we have Kyle Schuster, who's on the phone. He's our attorney at Latham, Watkins & Schuster, LLP, based in Century City. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning, fellas. How are you?
Very good. Thank you.
This is the guy that we told you about on the conference call yesterday, Mr. Schuster. This is our friend Doto.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And you have in your possession a copy of the paperwork from the contract that he signed to appear on our show, right?
Yes. Your producer did forward me this contract, and I've had a chance to look it over. And like you said, it is a unilateral binding agreement in which Doto agrees to perform his services in exchange for no real reimbursement
for
the exposure that the show entitles him.
Now this, if I'm not mistaken, was at a singles party. I don't know if you remember or not, Doe, but there was a kissing booth that night. Do you remember that?
I don't recall, Kevin.
You don't remember
the kissing booth?
It was that Valentine's Day singles party that we did down in Santa Monica. Remember we had the Dan band playing and you were there?
That was 3 years ago.
Okay, right. And do you remember that we had Psycho Mike kiss you on the lips and paid him $100? Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
Okay. Well Kyle, is it possible, Kyle, for you to refresh Doto's mind of exactly what that contract says?
It's a pretty standard, like I mentioned, unilateral agreement. It's a common law of contracts that what this does is presumes and embodies the complete agreement that anything Doto creates for your show or provides for you in terms of content automatically becomes your intellectual property.
I see.
And according to the parole evidence rule, it's a written contract that basically embodies the agreement that you will provide him a venue to perform and try to make his way into the entertainment industry and in exchange for no remuneration or compensation, and that he has to do so for at least the continuation for as long as the Kevin and Bean Show is on the air.
Do you remember that now, Doe? Does that bring it all into focus?
Now,
Doe?
I kind of remember, Kevin.
You do remember. Okay,
you do
good.
Start to remember. Okay. Mr. Schuster, what would be required if Doto did want to get off the show? Is there any out for him?
Well, the contract is only voidable under the it's unenforceable, the fact that both parties have to agree that there's been a severance of the agreement. So Doto, if he chooses to leave, cannot do so without the agreement and the complete cooperation of the Kevin and Bean Show and K-Rock.
Okay.
So we have to let him go.
Okay.
If he's
But dead. The good news, Kyle, if you don't mind my saying so, and Doe, if you don't mind my saying so, is that Doe has since changed his mind, and he's on board, and we're also on board, so everything's good.
Well, in terms of the law, that's pretty much irrelevant. Should you guys choose to continue to use him as a member of your performance on your show, he would have no choice but to perform. He really can't be dismissed until you agree to it.
Okay.
All right. There's nothing in that contract, Mr. Schuster, that says he has to be funny, though, right?
No, I don't see that anywhere in here, no.
Okay, because we'd be in some serious violation if that were the case.
Of course, there's nothing here that says you have to be funny either.
That's
all right. Kyle Schuster with Latham, Watkins, and Schuster, based in Century City. Thank you for coming on and refreshing Doe's memory. We appreciate it, sir.
My pleasure, guys.
Okay. Doe?
Okay.
Doe makes it all the more fun when you've got to be here, right?
Everything's cool, though, Doe, right? Because you want to go along, we want to go along, so we're all good.
Yes, Kevin.
We just wanted to give you a little kind of a mind refresher of what you signed, just so that there was no questions down the road.
Yes, Kevin Bean.
Okay. And Doe, this is the last time we'll be talking to you for a while. I understand you leave for the Far East next week, right?
Yeah.
Now, what are you going to do in the Far East? Because our understanding was that you were going to teach an English class.
No, I don't do that anymore.
You don't? Okay.
I'm going to be working with some former nonprofit for a couple of months.
And what are you going to do with them?
Okay. What the purpose of the job is to help building healthcare and aid to developed countries.
Right, but what do you do? What's your job?
My job is to spot locations and how to come up with the funds to develop education and medical facilities.
Wow. Wait, so you get in a Jeep and you drive around in Thailand and go, hey, that'd be a great place for a hospital. Let's build it there. That's you?
Something like that, Kevin Bean.
Wow.
But not quite. But similar to that, Kevin.
They've picked the right guy. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Now, Bob, I would like to say, if you don't mind, that we, having read the contract now, we would still enjoy a phone call or two from, you know, when you're in Asia.
Yeah.
You can still contact us, right?
Yeah, I know that, Kevin Bean.
Okay. All right.
Okay. All right. Well, listen, Godspeed. Have a fantastic trip. And why don't you give us a call in a couple of weeks once you're settled over there, okay, Doe?
Thanks, Kevin Bean.
Okay.
Well, it's always great to talk to you, man. Have a great trip.
Thanks, man.
Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Bye-bye, Doe.
Bye now. That went well, I think.
I do, too.
Fantastic.
Ralph was giving us some details earlier today as they're starting to leak out about the upcoming wedding. I guess it's a week from Saturday. Tom Cruise and his fiancée, Katie Holmes, who already have a child together, are going to be getting married in Italy. And we had a bunch of questions about that because I guess they're having two weddings. They're having a Catholic wedding and then a Scientology wedding.
Right.
And we don't have any idea what goes on in a Scientology wedding. So we have asked Mr. Cruise to join us back on the air. Hey, Tom, welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show.
I love Katie.
Right.
Well, I'm glad you feel that way since you guys are getting married now, 9 days away? How do you feel, Tom?
Very excited, Kevin and Bean. Mm-hmm. We're very excited. It's going to be a great wedding, and we're really looking forward to spending our lives together.
Now, according to our entertainment reporter, he says that you're going to have two weddings, one Catholic and one Scientology. What is a Scientologist wedding?
Kevin.
Yes, Tom.
Don't be glib.
I'm just asking.
Oh, okay.
What is it? How is it different?
A Scientology wedding ceremony is a beautiful confirmation of love between two people.
Right, that's the normal wedding.
But our weddings are better.
Okay. In what way, Tom?
Well, we use this as a chance to display the second of the eight dynamics of existence.
The second of the eight dynamics of existence.
That's right.
Okay, what's that?
That's the creativity, the creative act of procreation and raising of children and sex. It is the union of two people together.
Okay, and but how's that different?
Kevin. I know about weddings, okay?
Right.
I've gotten married three times.
Yes, you have. That is true.
You sure
I've
have.
Done the research.
Mm-hmm.
Did you know in some countries weddings are used as street drugs?
No.
No.
I don't think that's at all true. Now, why do you think you and Katie are going to last, Tom, where your previous two marriages to Mimi Rogers and Nicole Kidman did not?
Because in the Scientology wedding, we gather our friends and family.
Right.
We gather around us.
Uh-huh.
And they agree that we are going to spend our lives together. It's called the agreement.
Okay.
Because all of reality is created by agreement. So everyone has to agree that our lives will be blessed and we will be together forever. That's the agreement. That's a section called the agreement.
Right.
Okay, so what you're saying, if I understand, let's say your pal John Travolta, famous Scientologist, if he did not agree, if he did not think, hey, you guys are going to work, then somehow that would work against you? You would not be able to, in real life, exist together?
If he doesn't join us in the agreement, then he will, in essence, jinx us.
Jinx you?
Really?
And then it'll be double jinx, pinky swear. And then I have to run around him four times and throw apple juice on him to remove the spell.
So the agreement of the people in attendance is what makes
key.
The marriage a reality.
It is key.
It's key.
The agreement is key.
Okay. Is it
not as key as the prenuptial agreement, but still.
Right, sure.
Is it an agreement, but still as key?
Is it something that they sign? Is it a piece of paper? Is it just a word vote?
Kevin. Don't be glib. Of course not. Of course they don't sign it. They all have to spiritually connect.
Okay.
And then, of course, there's the application of the ceremonial chapstick. Then we put on the cloak of togetherness, and then Katie and I will jump over the chocolate volcano.
You have a chocolate volcano? That sounds awesome.
It's great. It's like a chocolate fountain, and you get s'mores and stuff, and you dip it in it, but it's in the shape of a volcano, of course, to celebrate the day we're all thrown in there and our spirits released by Zeno.
Okay, speaking of Xenu, is there any kind, do you have a statue of L. Ron Hubbard there in the church? Do you have a spaceship that comes down that everybody gets on and goes off into space? Do you do anything like that?
The pastor who will be overseeing the event, he will be dressed as L. Ron Hubbard.
L. Ron, okay.
He'll be wearing an L. Ron Hubbard Halloween mask, which is available at the gift shop at the Scientology Center down in Hollywood. You can pick one up if you want it.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't know. Okay.
And then, of course, the ceremonial spaceship will be lowered on a series of levers and pulleys, and then Katie will be jammed up inside of it. And she's lost some weight now, so it's good. She should fit.
Okay.
And then she goes off. She goes off with the spaceship, and I get together with a few buddies.
You get together with a few buddies.
That doesn't.
And we take take a sauna.
Oh, what?
It's the cleansing, the spiritual cleansing of the groom.
But I thought the wedding night was supposed to be special. It's supposed to be a time between.
It's going to be special, all right. You should see these guys.
Between you and Katie, though, is what I'm saying.
Oh, sir. We're going to be sweating.
But what about your wife, though? What about your new wife? Aren't you going to want to be with her instead that night?
Who's that?
Katie?
Katie Holmes?
Oh, right. Yeah, she's great.
So let's see if you're like me. When you first saw the TV commercial for the new Lexus, the one that parallel parks itself,
yes.
Did you first think, cool, and then think, but creepy, but then cool, but kind of creepy, but no, really cool?
My first thought was, no way.
Like you can't make something to do that?
It's not possible that a car can parallel park itself.
Well, the commercial's been running, and I can't take my eyes off. It's a beautiful new Lexus, and we thought we got to find out how this technology is possible, or if it's just all special effects, and they're just trying to sucker us into the showroom, and then they can say, "Oh man, he was playing with that."
They did it one time in a place overseas where they were doing experiments,
right? So we asked Lightning to find somebody who knew about this amazing new technology, and he came up with Mike Sullivan, who's the owner of the Sullivan Automotive Group, and of course that includes Lexus of Santa Monica. Mike, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning.
Hi, guys. And Lisa, how are you?
Good, Mike. And very happy to talk to you.
Yeah.
Lisa the Terrible up here, so I'm all ready for you guys.
Yeah.
This commercial, as I said, cool, yet creepy. Is it for real?
Yeah, it is. It's only creepy, like, the first couple times you use it. It does kind of vibe you out. But it you pull up next to the hole, it measures the spot, and then you put it in reverse, take your hands off the wheel, and it pulls you in perfectly.
You take your hands off the wheel.
Kevin, this car was built for you.
Yeah, no kidding. You take your hands off the wheel.
All you do is apply the brakes and keep the car slowly going into the hole.
Okay.
Don't you have to pull, like, when you normally parallel park, you have to pull up ahead to the car?
Yeah, in front of you.
In front of you. Yeah. Don't you have to do that and then it backs up?
Yeah, you pull up next to the hole, put on the brakes, pull up next to the car ahead of you.
Okay.
Put on the brakes.
Gotcha.
Take your hands off the wheel.
Okay, what if what if you're like, say you're driving down a street, you're driving down Sunset or Ventura Boulevard or someplace, and there are a couple of cars there and there's a hole and you want to keep driving. Does the car slam on the brakes and you go, park? And then you go, no, I didn't want to park. I want to keep going. What's happening?
No, you gotta slow down. It'll only go up to, you can't be going more than 3 miles an hour.
Okay.
Mike, is this just in the Lexus LS that I've seen on the website, or is it more models?
No, only in the new LS 460 that we just launched.
Okay, and this is the one that has the...
You know, it's obviously going to be on the luxury cars.
Right.
This is the one, if I understand correctly, has the 8-speed automatic transmission for the first time, too, right?
First ever 8-speed automatic.
Yeah, you're just showing off now. What on earth would you...
Stereo system, I'll tell the stuff.
All right, slow down, Mike.
But what on earth would you ever need a 7th and 8th gear for? Like, it's not like you can be in 5th gear and go 130 miles an hour. What do you need a 7th and 8th gear for?
Well, what it does is it gives you, it allows you to lower the first gear ratio so that you get more torque, and it allows you to stretch out the 8th gear so that you get better mileage on the road.
Oh, I see. Okay.
It gives you more choices so that you get a broader band, so you get torque on the low end like a sports car. The car is fast, and it gets reasonable mileage for a big car because it's got that 8-speed that's got the high gear ratio.
I think the police should go through parking lots and up and down streets and stuff and give people tickets that force them to buy a car that can parallel park for them. You know what? You see somebody that's really crappy at it, you go, listen, you have to buy this car. I don't care if you can't afford it. Buy it.
Do you know anything about why this was created? Was there a great demand out there from people who said, hey, I just can't parallel park. Is there anything you can do for me with technology?
If you've ever been out with Kevin.
Yeah.
It's just one of the things that we think is a real feature versus, some of the things that some of our cars have. They're kind of silly. But, no, I think that this one's going to be a real feature. People are talking. I've never, in 30 years, I've never had people talk about a commercial like this.
Yeah.
So it's a hit chord.
It's unbelievable. Now, let me ask you one more question about the logistics of the actual parallel parking. We've all done it where we've seen a space that we goes, hey, I think I can make it in that space. And then you move in and out of the space and you realize, well, it's not quite enough room. It's a little bit
too tight.
You
go back, you go forward, you go back, you go forward, you go back, you go forward.
Or maybe it's enough room, but I'm not good at this.
Yeah. I'm just not going to make it right. Is the car, I mean, is the car able to judge the, you know, however few inches you have in between yours and the next car, and actually it won't let you try to parallel park if it's not going to fit?
Absolutely. It has a green and a red light on the dash on the, in the navigation system, and if it's too small, it gives you a red light and says,
wow,
you know, don't even try it.
I love that.
And then, but the sonar is built into the bumpers, so, you know, it's right on the corner of the car measuring the other bumper.
Would that help, say, parking in a garage? Because my wife pretty much scrapes my car every time she parks. Would that help her with that?
Well, absolutely. But okay, that's not, you know, other cars have that too.
Okay.
The sonar in the bumper, you know, it beeps and stuff so that you know how close you are. And then ours also has a camera so that when you back up, you can see the car behind you too.
Okay,
that's cool.
Really helpful.
Well, that's
too
cool.
Yeah,
does it go beep beep beep?
Yeah, yeah, just beep, beep.
Is it designed specifically for little Asian women?
Under 5 feet too.
Yeah, okay, good. That's what I was thinking.
Mike Sullivan is the owner of the Sullivan Automotive Group, including, of course, Lexus of Santa Monica. If people are interested, obviously they can go to the website if they want to go to Lexus.com. But is there a big waiting list for people to buy this car, like there are so often with the new technology?
You know, it's, we're sold out, but we're getting cars coming in, so it's fine. It's not like the, you know, the hybrid. Some of the times we get a little backed up, but this car is coming in with a decent flow, so we're cool.
So what that's you're awesome saying is this car will parallel park itself.
Absolutely.
I can't accept that. I'm just going to call BS. I don't think that's possible.
It's cool, but it's also a little bit creepy. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
You're right.
Mike, thanks for coming on from Lexus of Santa Monica, man.
Okay, guys.
All right. Bye.
Bye.
8:56 Thursday morning. Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. Ralph, what the hell's going on?
Well, I don't know if you guys are like me, but I've always been excited and encouraged by all this talk about Indiana Jones 4, the fourth Indiana Jones movie.
Yeah, me too.
I love those goddamn movies.
I did too when they were, you know, in their prime 30 years ago or whenever it was.
Look, Harrison Ford may be 64, but he's still in great physical shape. He certainly can pull it off, I think. No, okay. he's got a year or two.
I think I would be interested.
He's got, that's the threshold, I think. As he gets pushing 70, maybe we're going to have issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
But some very disturbing news today.
Oh, what happened?
The latest effort to bring Indiana Jones back to the screen appears to have hit quite a roadblock. Familiar with Frank Darabont, the screenwriter director? He did Shawshank Redemption. He wrote that.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very talented writer. He has submitted a script for Indiana Jones 4.
Okay.
Okay. So far, so good.
Steven Spielberg said it's the best draft of anything since Raiders of the Lost Ark in terms of those movies.
No kidding.
Yep. Darabont says, that gave me a real sense of accomplishment, especially when you love the material you're working on as much as I love the Indiana Jones films. Then George Lucas read it and said, yeah, I don't like it. I don't think so.
And they both, Spielberg and Lucas, both have to sign off on it?
Yep. So that resets the whole project to zero. They have no screenplay. No, nothing to be filmed. Nothing.
Lucas doesn't get a vote anymore.
That's what I'm saying. He's horrible.
He is horrible.
Look at
his
last three
movies.
Star Wars movies. He does not get to say anything about scripts.
Ugh.
No, he does not.
He does not know from scripts.
Three words. Jar Jar and Binks.
Mother effer. This Lucas is a bite in my ass, I'm telling you.
Well,
something's got to be done about him.
What can be done?
I'm going up north to kick some ass. That's what I'm telling you.
In Lucas's defense, we all know Spielberg's a hack. That guy doesn't know his way around a good script or
exactly
a good movie.
That is true, yeah.
So when asked, Frank Darabont was asked, do you think this project will ever really have to get off the ground? He said, yeah, I don't think so.
Wow.
Oh.
I think it's just a fantastically bizarre that for a project that people have been trying to crack for 10 years, and then have a writer come in and finally crack it, and then someone says, no, I don't think so. He says, it's just bizarre to me. I can't get into George Lucas's head.
But like you say, he's got plenty of time left to make this movie. So, you know, for God's sake.
For 10 years they've been trying to do this. Spielberg says, this guy's come up with a great script. And Lucas is like, no.
Don't like it so much.
Talk about a momentum killer right there.
I think it should be digital. I think we should just create special effects and have Indiana Jones be a special effect.
That's George Lucas?
Yeah.
All right.
Hate him.
I think he would, if he could make movies with no actors, he would.
Oh, absolutely.
George Lucas.
He hates human beings. He just wants everything to come out of a computer.
Right.
I'm going to go up north. I'm going to kick his ass. Where's that ranch?
Up there.
That
up
ranch
north.
Is.
It's up north.
In Marin County.
Skywalker then? Ranch. They probably don't have any security there, right?
Yeah.
I'm just going to drive on. I'm going to kick his ass.
And then he's going to come back and say it's a great script.
All right, good. You can make that movie. That's a really good script.
If you're kicking him in the head with your boot, it's going to be like,
that's right.
Make the Indiana Jones movie.
This is for Anakin Skywalker. All right. Paris Hilton wants her star on the Walk of Fame.
Abso-damn-lutely. And who deserves it more? Oh, wait.
Well, here's the thing. Hollywood Walk of Fame has four different areas that you can exceed in mm-hmm. in order to be honored by the awarding of a star.
Is one of them a celebrity sex tape?
No.
Oh.
Well, television.
I think they have five. I think they have five categories.
Well, I know recording contract, right? A recording singer.
And she did have a pop single.
Oh,
she
stop.
Did have one hit.
That doesn't deserve
one hit
a star.
Does not a star make.
No,
it does.
So you got
sure
the recording deal, the records. You got television.
Mm-hmm.
You got
right.
films.
Right.
You got radio. Oh,
right.
You got stage, too, I guess. You got stage.
Right,
so
exactly.
Those are the five areas of achievement.
She did a tiny bit of TV, a tiny bit
That's
of
what
movies.
I'm saying. She's done nothing. She's done less than Dr. Jerry Buss, who got a star on the Walk of Fame.
Well, he deserved it.
No, he doesn't.
Because he's provided entertainment for the Los Angeles community for
basketball.
All these years.
Basketball entertainment.
Entertainment.
Basketball.
Oh, but the Lakers are so much bigger than basketball.
Not a category for the stars.
So much bigger than basketball.
Not a category. Basketball Hall of Fame. See that? Give him a ball. Give him a hoop.
Paris?
Give him something like that.
Yeah, let's go back to Paris.
Because I want to know, she just thinks she should have
Life
one?
Life and Style Weekly magazine says she should have one because, and here she is, there's the quote, the most famous person on earth. So they should just give her one for that. Just for that.
After you go up north, I think this is your second job.
Then I'm going down south.
Then you're going
First
down south.
I'm going up north, I'm kicking Spielberg's ass. I'm going down south, and I'm kicking Hilton's ass.
Yes, please.
I'm going to kick her down south, too, by the way.
That would
so
be good.
There's a category.
My boot would disappear. Just swallowed up and never seen again.
There's a category for the most famous person on earth?
Vagina dentata. She's known.
That's her stage name.
Hey, Kelly Pickler's got a new CD.
Oh. Yeah, I know.
Number nine on the Billboard charts.
Hey, how about that?
Number nine on the Billboard charts.
Yeah.
Kelly Pickler.
Open yeah, for sure. Someone who was on American Idol a couple years ago, right?
You know, in a couple weeks, Catherine McPhee's CD drops, baby.
Exactly.
Number one. That's where it's going. Here's the top 10 CDs selling in America. You won't believe this lineup, I'm telling you. I'm not effing around. This is insane.
Okay.
The Deftones, God bless them, number 10.
They're on the Kevin Beach Show tomorrow morning.
That's good news. Kelly Pickler, number 9.
Okay.
Meatloaf, Bat Out of Hell 3, The Monster Is Loose, number 8.
That's clearly not possible.
That CD blows, by the way.
Does it?
Oh.
You were looking forward to it.
I'm a huge Meatloaf fan. Bat Out of Hell 1 and 2, could not get enough of it.
So glad to hear this.
So disappointed in 3.
Fantastic.
Very disappointed.
Let's stop talking about him then.
Okay.
All right.
The Who, the new The Who album. The band from the 60s, The Who.
Yeah.
The Who,
right.
The Who.
Hmm.
7th right now. On the top 10 list.
Huh. What's going on?
My Chemical Romance, God bless him, put a little sanity in that list. Number 6, okay. Justin Timberlake is 5. John Legend, 4. Birdman and Lil Wayne.
Oh, Birdman and Lil Wayne do good work.
I used to love that show as a kid. Birdman, he used to live in that cave, and he drove that really cool car, had the cape and everything. Barry Manilow. Oh, that's right. Barry Manilow is number 2.
What?
Thank you. Thank you very much.
This is the world we live in. Barry Manilow is number 2.
No.
And number 1, wait for it. Hannah Montana.
No.
From the Disney Channel TV series, Hannah Montana. Hannah Montana, number 1 of all the CDs that are being sold, Hannah Montana's number 1.
And by
one.
The way, that's second week in a row Hannah Montana has
Come
been
on.
At the top of the charts. Too.
Anything that markets to kids.
But seriously.
Kicks ass, I know.
But seriously, when did the kids become the center of the universe? Let's go back to the days when they were second-class citizens, like when I was a kid. People were drinking and smoking around you. They were at parties. You'd leave us alone. Go play in your room. No one gave a rat's ass what I wanted or what I cared about.
But isn't that why you turned out to be such an angry human being?
Yes, and it's look how well it served me.
Ralph, you know she's Billy Ray Cyrus's teenage daughter, right?
Oh, stop piling
you
on
that,
now.
Right?
Stop adding insult to injury.
Yeah.
It's a bad world we live in.
Mm-hmm.
Today's celebrity birthdays. Lou Ferrigno, the Hulk. He's 54 years old today. Peppa of Salt and Peppa is 34 years old today. I think I have a little sound for everybody today.
Yeah.
See how well that grows or goes. Chris Jericho, wrestler. He's 36 years old today. Nick Lachey, singer, songwriter. He's 33 years old today. Cisco from the Thong Song. Do we have any Thong Song? Oh, you don't have the Thong Song.
No. He couldn't have seen that coming.
Come on.
No.
You had it last hour. How did you not know we were going to talk about Cisco and the Thong Song? Thong Song sounds, by the way, like a song by Thandie Newton.
There we go.
It
was worth waiting for.
It sure was. Is that all you had of it?
Yes. That's literally all.
That's all you decided.
We're
going to
put
some of the Thong Song down. But just give me 2 seconds of it. Vanessa Minnillo, TV personality and a lovely young lady. She's 26 years old today. And my wife's got to be up by now, right?
Jesus Christ, Ralph, just call her.
She's got to be up.
My God.
By now, she's got to be up.
I would think.
Today is my lovely wife, Carrie's birthday as well. So I want to wish her a happy birthday. She's got to be up by now, right?
We don't know.
We don't know. Call
her. We don't know when she gets up.
Pick up the phone.
Jeez.
I don't want to wake her, though.
Oh, for God's sake.
If she's sleeping, I don't want
to
wake her.
All right, we got to talk to Kiefer.
Or the dude who's next to her, whoever is there. You know.
The black guy.
Exactly. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz.
Hey, real quick, we mentioned, I guess I'll save that information because now our guest is on the phone. Kiefer Sutherland, ladies and gentlemen, it's not even fair that he looks like that and he's that talented, he's got that TV show. Now he's got a record company. What can't this dude do? You can see Kiefer Sutherland and the record company and the band that we'll talk about right here on I Trust You to Kill Me, which is going to be Saturday night at 9 o'clock on VH1. Let's welcome back to the Kevin and Bean Show, Emmy-winning actor Kiefer Sutherland. Hey, yeah. Kiefer, welcome back.
How you guys doing?
We're doing good, thank you.
We're great, man. I can't. I'm sure you get asked this question all the time, but with as busy as you are, with all the stuff you got going on with your own career, how do you have time to run a record company, dude?
I've got a lot of other people doing the work for me.
So you just hire them and say, okay, make it good.
Well, the company started with a really great friend of mine, Jude Cole. And yes. He's a fantastic singer and songwriter, and he's really in charge of the creative aspect of the label.
Right.
And he's just done a fantastic job. And we really do focus on one artist at a time, and I think that's what really separates us as a label, is that we really believe in the development process. We believe in taking the time to make an album, regardless of how much time that is. And we focus all of our energies on one artist, and it makes it a lot easier.
Now, this is a rockumentary about Rocco DeLuca, and it says in the information that we have, it's a highly personal journey of a rock band and their less-than-qualified road manager, Kiefer Sutherland.
That would be me, yeah.
Has it been a real learning curve for you to learn how the music business works? Because, man, it's a tough business to make it in, and it's harder now probably than it's ever been.
Well, I think one of the benefits for me is that the music industry is changing so dramatically that a lot of the rules are being broken, and thank God, because I didn't know them in the first place.
Right.
But, you know, I mean, the main thing I learned through the rockumentary is that I'm not a very good tour manager.
Excellent.
And that I was really glad to have 24 to go back to as a career.
So you're telling me that the band, the poor band who's on the road, they learned probably pretty quickly that you weren't all that qualified.
I think before we left LAX.
Excellent. Okay, good.
Kiefer, how did you find Rocco DeLuca and The Burden? How did they end up being the band that you were so excited about you had to sign?
Well, we've been looking. We've had friends of ours looking all over the country. Jude has so many contacts out there in the music world. But a friend of mine who was working on 24 in the art department, a guy we affectionately term as Dark Mark.
Dark Mark, I like it.
Yeah, he's a club rat. And he saw this guy play down in Long Beach, and he called up and said, you know, I know you're looking for an act for your label. You've got to check this guy out. And I went down to the Gypsy Lounge down in Long Beach, which was a fantastic venue for starting artists. And saw him play, and three songs in, gave Jude a call and said, we've got to sign this guy. And Jude and I rarely agree on music, so it's a pretty heavy barometer to pass.
Right.
And Jude fell in love with the music as well. And we've been working for the last couple of years on the record and his touring. And oddly enough, since I stopped tour managing the band, they've started to do very well.
This is Kiefer Sutherland on the line. We're talking about the documentary on VH1 Saturday night. It's about his artist, Rocco DeLuca and The Burden. And I think we have a clip for folks who are curious what this young man can sound like.
Yeah, this is a song called Colorful.
No one can hear you. Raise your hands to be called on.
The album is for sale everywhere and, of course, on iTunes. Kiefer, were you always a big music junkie growing up? Is that something that's always been a part of your life?
Huge, yeah. I think music, I don't think there's another art medium that can transport me emotionally faster than music. I can listen to a Beatles tune and remember what it was like hanging out with my brother when I was 7.
Right.
I hear a Led Zeppelin song and remember the first time I kissed Sherry Ware in the basement.
did Sherry grow to regret that kiss?
Probably.
Yeah.
Did you ever play? Were you ever in a band coming up?
not for long.
I gotcha. Okay.
I learned very quickly that I was a music fan and not a musician.
On the road, did people come up to you and say, hey, we want to talk to your band about, wait a minute, aren't you that guy from...
From that show?
We actually had a couple shows where we had sold less tickets than the members in the of the band. And that's generally a bad sign. And so we would hit the street and start, you know, selling the tickets, giving the tickets away, just anything to fill up the room.
Right.
The philosophy of the documentary and our label is that 200 people a night in a club make the difference in the world. You hear all these numbers in the film industry, you know, we made $148 million this weekend,
right,
or 50 million people saw your show last night, and you forget the power of one single person, and this tour was a great reminder of that for me, and it was humbling, and so yeah, there were a couple times when I'd be handing out tickets, and people were kind of perplexed.
And you could just say, yeah, we're shooting 24 inside. Just go on in and you'll be on the show.
Exactly. Well, I'm sure you've done this, Kiefer, but if you look on iTunes and you go to the Rock of DeLuca page, you'll see the comments that people are leaving. And there really is quite a bit of word of mouth. People from not only people who are sharing the music with their friends, but people who have already gone to see the live show and say, wow, the guy just tore it up and blew me away. I mean, he does seem like the kind of artist that people really, really get invested in once they find out about him.
Well, and that's what's so difficult about the music industry right now is there are so many fantastic bands out there and musicians. How do you get them to their audience? And I think the responsibility of a label is to find the right audience for the right band and introduce them to each other.
The show is I Trust You to Kill Me. It is on this Saturday night, 9 o'clock on VH1. Kiefer Sutherland, we know you're out of time. 24 comes back in January.
And we'll probably talk to you then.
We would love to talk to you about that and also about the 24 movie that is being rumored about.
We're going to hopefully make that in the summer, in May, in the break. And we've just actually gotten the scripts in, so we're moving forward.
Fantastic.
That's beautiful. Well, make a note. We'd love to talk to you again after the first of the year, Kiefer. And good luck with the record. And everybody go out there and buy Rocco DeLuca and The Burden. It's on sale everywhere. Kiefer Sutherland, thank you for joining us.
Thank you guys so much. Thanks very much.
You bet. Bye now.
So Ralph did a story yesterday on the Showbiz Beat that we're all very, very excited about. And that is the hit autobiography from the guys in Motley Crue that came out last year called The Dirt is going to be made into a major motion picture. And I guess they're starting to work on the pre-production, the casting for that, right?
Yeah. They have unknowns playing the band, Motley Crue, but then they have other celebrities that are going to play bands that they toured with. For example, let's see, Val Kilmer is going to play Vince Neil, I believe.
David Lee Roth.
And then they also mentioned that Christopher Walken is going to play Ozzy Osbourne.
That's fantastic.
Because they toured with Ozzy for a while, so that's part of the movie. And that is some great casting right there.
Yes.
So we figured what we would do is get Ozzy on the phone and find out if he had any say in it or if he, you know, if anybody asked his opinion or what he thought. So let's bring Ozzy onto the show. Good morning, Ozzy.
Hello.
Hey there. How are you this morning?
I'm good. Who's this?
It's Kevin and Bean.
Kevin and Bean.
Yes.
Yes. Remember, Ozzy, we used to talk to you a lot when your TV show was on the air.
I had a TV show?
Yeah, you were on MTV for 3 or 4 seasons. You were very popular. You and your family.
On MTV.
She knows you were.
I'm on it.
No, she knows. It was before, Ozzy. You're not on now.
I got canceled.
Well, you stopped doing it. I think Sharon decided to stop doing it.
Sharon, the show's canceled. Don't watch it.
She knows that.
Forget about the TV show. We didn't actually call to talk about the TV show. I was just trying to help you remember.
I've already forgotten about the TV show.
Yes, you have. I just wanted you to remember who we were, that we're friends of yours, and we love you, and we're going to be nice to you, okay?
I don't want to come down there with a baseball bat and hit you.
Now you remember. Okay, good.
Okay. All right. So we heard about this movie that they're making about Motley Crue. Do you know what I'm talking about? The movie called The Dirt?
I heard Val Kilmer's playing Vince Neil.
Yeah, no, that's incorrect. The Dirt.
It's David Lee Roth.
Confessions of the...
Confused to think that.
Confessions of the world's most notorious rock band. And Val Kilmer is only one of the names. We also heard that Christopher Walken was going to play you, and we were curious if they asked your opinion, if you picked him. What happened?
Oh, Christopher Walken's going to play me?
Yes.
Yes.
Christopher Walken, you're going to play me?
Well, he's not there. He's not there right now, Ozzy.
Ozzy, he's not. We're just telling you that he's going to play you in the movie.
But he is here right now.
What?
Christopher Walken is there.
My home.
He is?
Yeah, he's been staying with me for a while.
Why?
Well, He said he wants to learn more about me. Apparently he's playing me in a movie or something.
That's what we just told you.
I heard you saying Vince Neil.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Can we talk to Mr. Walken? Is he right there where you can hand him the phone?
Chris Walken, we'll talk to you.
Poor Ozzy.
Wow.
Hello.
He is there.
I thought Ozzy was just having another one of his visions.
I know. Ozzy can be confused sometimes, but he's right. I'm here in the house with him.
How long have you been living with him?
About a year now.
A year?
Studying him, learning more about the character.
Uh-huh.
So when I portray him in a movie, I'll know what I'm doing.
Okay.
Well, that is a phenomenal commitment to a role, Mr. Walken, that you would spend a year of your life for, frankly, a part that's not going to be a huge bit in the movie.
It's not the size of the role.
Right.
It's my performance, what I bring to it, and that's what I have to care about.
Okay.
I can't be concerned with screen time or how long I'll be in the film.
Okay. Well, what's okay. the biggest
for
thing
instance, that... when I did Deer Hunter... I actually killed Vietnamese.
That's what you did.
Of the character.
Wow.
So I could bring some truth and honesty to the role.
Well, you were sure great in that movie, Mr. Walken.
See? It worked.
That's dedication.
And I think absorbing Ozzy here in his home, that'll help me bring him to life on the screen.
What's the biggest thing you've learned about Ozzy since you've been living with him for a year?
He takes an enormous amount of drugs.
Right.
I'm not sure, but I believe it's damaged his brain in some way.
Uh-huh.
Well, I think you're right about that. That's for sure.
I'm confused.
Uh-huh.
Now, will you also take a lot of drugs to be in the right mental frame of mind for the film?
Sharon, will I take a lot of drugs?
Wait a minute. You asked Sharon?
I'm trying to get into the role.
Oh, okay. Do you
she
get
always
to
ask her everything.
Yeah.
Do you sleep with Sharon, too?
No way.
Okay, I'm just checking.
She's all flabby. Originally, I wanted to play Tommy Lee in this film, but they said I couldn't.
How come?
Well, the size of my crank. I have an enormous wang.
Really? It's too big.
I wanted to show my wang on screen. They said it's not an IMAX.
Well, that's very impressive, Christopher.
You have no idea.
I guess not.
I can hit you in the head from here.
Is there any food? No, no, not really.
All right.
Is there any food in the house with Kelly around?
Not much.
Mm-hmm.
Kelly comes home like a locust. She cleans out the kitchen.
Right.
The rest of us go hungry. And then Jack comes home.
Yeah.
No one can find any drugs in the house either.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay.
Two kids are incredible.
Yeah, I guess so.
I think Ozzy's blessed not knowing who he is or who they are.
I think you're right.
I guess it's time to talk to Lisa. Hello, Lisa. I can barely hear you. Can you talk up a little louder? Yeah. Okay.
What?
You're kidding.
Can you speak louder?
Uh-huh.
Does Rodney not know she's not on the air?
Oh.
I don't think so.
Oh, no.
I hope this goes on forever.
Especially with the gas prices. Going across country? Are you kidding?
Are you kidding?
God. Wow. Sounds wonderful. Sounds great.
Okay, there you go. That's Rodney taking a phone call.
He's shocked. He's never had a phone call before. It rattled him to the core.
He just doesn't know the other end God. Is not online. So, on the air.
Somebody listening called in. What do I do? How do I work the button?
So basically, all you heard was her going, beep, beep, beep. I'm going, uh-huh. All right, it's 9:44. It is time for Kevin and Bean's What It Do, nephew. 1-800-520-1067 is the number. You call, you get on the air, you get a prize.
Gas prices are high.
Are you kidding me?
Kidding me?
A pair of lift tickets for Bear Mountain or Snow Summit is what you get. You know, it says here, Ralph,
what's
snow
that
is arriving soon
oh,
at Big Bear.
Sure it is.
Is what it says.
That's
sooner
true.
Or later.
By soon, you know, they mean, you know, soon. Ish.
Plus, we'll throw in a ride snowboard from Sports Chalet, 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with Greg, our friend calling us from Brea this morning on Kevin and Bean's. What it do, nephew?
What it do, nephew?
Hey, Greg.
Did you guys, I sent you an email the other day with a link to a story I saw on Yahoo about a man from Turkey claiming he's the real Borat.
Yes.
I read a magazine article about this dude. He is ticked off.
It's a guy in Turkey. And I guess he was on the internet for a while, and he had the broken English like Borat does.
He had a marginally successful site on the internet a couple years ago where he was trying to meet women, American women and stuff like that, to come over and visit him and spend time with him and stuff, yeah.
Did you see the picture on that article, Greg? He has the gigantic nose ever.
Oh, really?
Yes, I did.
My God.
Can you guys get a hold of him and hook him up with Sam and have a joke off or something?
Oh, good call. Good call.
You can't use the term joke off on the air with the FCC these days, dude.
No, that's
come
a different
on.
That's a different word, Fiend. Don't worry
Greg,
about that.
That's a great idea. We have put in our request for Mohir or whatever his name is. We will definitely try to make that happen for you. Thank you for the call on that.
Very good.
All right, bye now. That's a great story. Everybody claims now all of a sudden they're Borat.
Yeah. Anyone of any foreign persuasion says they're the original Borat.
All right, let's talk to Tracy, who is continuing a theme on the Kevin and Bean Show. Good morning, Tracy. What it do, baby boo?
What it do, baby boo? Hi, Lisa.
Hi, Tracy.
I happened to catch an ad for the Tyra Banks Show this morning, and she's going undercover as a homeless person on Skid Row.
Oh, F her to death.
Is Tyra at the point where she just hates being Tyra
now?
Does she think she's
in Mission Impossible or something? She's on the IMF force?
She needs to be stopped.
Was it the report that we heard, I think, yesterday that she was going undercover as a man?
Yeah.
Yes. In Chingy's entourage.
So she's been a prisoner, and she's been a fat person, and she's been a stripper and a man, and now she's gonna be a homeless guy. Just do your goddamn show.
I think next she should be a big steamy turd.
Nice.
But she already is.
Hey!
Come on.
Be here all week.
Tracy, Sir Laughs a Lot this weekend at the run. Thank you.
It's funny because she spoke so much about how her idol was Oprah. She wanted to be the younger Oprah, right?
Yeah.
Oprah doesn't need to do any of that stuff. She doesn't do any of that. She just has people on and talks to them, right?
Very rarely does Oprah wear disguises to do her show.
Right.
Well, if she's portraying a homeless person, there's always the possibility I could kill her. You know,
That's true.
We do. Yeah. You do have a record of that.
Not to lay down in an alley. It's very dangerous.
Let's go to Eduardo in Glendale. Good morning, Eduardo.
What it do, nephew?
What it do,
Lisa?
Hey, Eduardo.
Hey,
it's a hard name.
What's wrong with you people?
It's a hard name to say.
Eduardo.
Yeah, but you had some
say Edward and add an O to it. How tough is that?
Hey, Eduardo.
Eduardo.
Yes, Eduardo. What's going on, Eduardo?
Hey, Eduardo. Hey,
the art on the cover of the Christmas CD.
Not allowed to talk about that. Thank you. Sorry for calling.
You hung up on someone talking about our Christmas CD.
Not allowed to talk about it.
We're not talking about it.
So don't go to the website to look at it, the events.
Don't go to the Kevin and Bean section of Carrick.com. There's nothing there to see.
Do you guys release the art in the meetings ever?
We're saying don't go there. We're not telling people to go there, Kevin.
We're not saying anything about cuts. Secret tracks.
Joe in Laguna Hills. Good morning.
What's up, Lisa May?
Hello, Joe.
What do you do, nephew?
Hey, what do you do? I saw the funniest thing yesterday. I was going to Ralph's, and there were these two old ladies, like, fighting over one of the stupidest things I've ever seen, and I kid you not, it was cat food. And the manager, like, had to run down the aisle and, like, step inside them. They weren't, like, fist fighting. They were, like, slapping each other.
Oh! They were literally slapping each other over cat food?
Joe,
for you, it's cat food. For them, it's lunch.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Was it the last can of a particular brand or something? Is that why?
Well, you know, I really, it happened so freaking quick, man. I don't even know.
I think the authorities
ladies move like lightning, don't they? Do, man?
You can't even see their hands when they slap you.
Yeah, it was pretty funny.
The authorities should follow both of them home and take all 100 cats out of their apartments. Yeah. That's what I think should happen.
Yeah, that's pretty funny. I thought, oh, my God.
There's really nothing better than old ladies fighting.
It really isn't.
Have you guys seen that on the internet with the two old ladies with the purses where they're banging on each other with the purses?
There should be a new league. You know, like Pride or UFC or one of the things. Should be an old lady fighting championship.
I would be all over that.
OLFC.
Mike in Chino. What it do, nephew?
Yo, what it do, Zazus?
Yeah.
Okie dokie.
What it do, Zazus?
Hey, man. This morning, the lunch truck, we always go to the lunch truck at 7 o'clock, man. Someone drove by and shot us up with paintball guns.
Oh, no. That's rude.
That's not funny.
Yeah, man. Everybody was, a couple of the employees were like crying over that they got hit. I mean, I play paintball, so the pain ain't bad. You know, I got hit on my leg.
Yeah.
And one guy got hit in the neck, man. He was just screaming, man.
It'll leave a little welt, but you realize if you've done it that you'll live.
Yeah.
You'll be fine.
It's like Patrick Swayze said, paint don't hurt.
Right, paint don't hurt.
That's right.
That's that's terrible. I can't believe people would do that. That's just bad behavior.
Let's take one more. Let's close with Sarah in Anaheim with a call that I think is going to be very close to Ralph's heart.
Sarah, good morning. What it do, baby boo?
What it do, nephew?
What's going on?
I went to the Griffith Park Observatory yesterday.
What's
wrong with you?
Did you
make a reservation?
I did make a reservation.
She had to, Lisa. It's the only way you can get there.
Of course she did.
You got to get on the shuttle van.
Did you have to call like 2 months ago to get your name on the list? Or how's
that work? No, I made my reservation the day before.
Okay, then you don't need to make a reservation.
Exactly.
That's my point. Day before? Don't need it. Okay, go ahead.
And it kind of sucked.
Oh, what a shock.
What were you expecting, Sarah? Had you ever been there before?
No, I had not.
Why did you go now?
Because Rebel Without a Cause had been filmed there. Like, it's a real historical place. Mm-hmm. A lot of history there. The architecture's cool.
Right.
But it's really only interesting if you're a third grader and you don't know anything about the solar system or the stars or anything.
Well, it used to be you could drive up there and just hang out and look at the place and, you know, see the view from up there, which is beautiful. But
leave
now,
when you want.
Because they got you in the little van, they ride you up in there. They jam you right into some sort of program. They try to teach you science and crap.
It's true.
Yeah. It's like an arm of Scientology. Is that what you're saying?
That's what I'm saying.
Okay.
So
guys, let me ask you this. When you go to the observatory, can you go at night and actually look up at the stars? Does that happen at all or no?
You know, we didn't stay that late because honestly, there wasn't enough to see to stay for that long. We got there around noon. So we left about 4 o'clock.
4 o'clock?
Yeah. How do you put 3 hours in?
That was pushing it. We were trying to push it as much as we could.
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Well, good choice.
Don't believe the hype, man. That's what I've been telling you.
Oh, we got a reservation. It's special now. Now we fixed it up. It's great. All right, we got to pick four winners. We just have Sarah. She was talking about Griffith Observatory. We had Tracy, who's Tyra Banks going undercover as a homeless.
Got to give it to Tracy. Tracy definitely gets the snowboard. Okay. Absolutely.
Eduardo, whose name we could not pronounce, talking about the thing that we can't talk about.
Since you were so rude to Eduardo, let's absolutely hook him up with a prize.
Yeah. Okay. Joe in Laguna Hills saw two ladies fighting.
Pretty strong. Yeah.
And Mike, lunch truck drove by paintball.
Oh, I hate to not give it to Sarah. She's talking about the observatory. That's very close to me.
But however, she made the bad judgment to go to the observatory, and I think she should be punished for that.
Yeah, that's true.
She was punished. She went to the observatory.
That's true. She spent four hours at the observatory.
But paintball guy.
It's strong. I hear you.
Flip a coin.
It's hard to only have four prizes to give away.
All right. We'll have Dave have those two people do rock, paper, scissors off the air.
There you go.
They'll get them both on the phone. They'll do rock,
that
paper, scissors.
Seems
that's
fair.
How you settle stuff.
Now good we're talking.
What do you have now? I've got rock.
Oh, well, then I have paper.
Exactly. It's kind of a hard game if you're blind.
Our guests on the Kevin and Bean Show, including Mike Sullivan from Lexus of Santa Monica. It's creepy, but it's cool. The car parks itself. It parallel parks itself, guys, with your hands off the wheel. It's
how
the weirdest
long
thing you ever
saw. Before somebody gets run over by their own car? That's what I want to know. How long till someone steps outside the car and the Lexus just goes off and just takes them out?
Like Carrie?
Exactly.
Car that comes to life?
Yes.
Also, thanks to one of the coolest dudes on TV, Kiefer Sutherland, for joining us. A new season of 24 starts in January. You can see the documentary about his record label and the band that he's signed called I Trust You to Kill Me. That'll be Saturday night at 9 o'clock on VH1.
Wow. Tomorrow morning on an all-new show, we have Deftones in studio.
Sweet.
Talk about the new CD that they have, Saturday Night Wrists, and also the calendar CD that they're on, and the calendar signing, which we're going to be doing on Saturday at the Best Buy at the Marketplace in Tustin. We're going to be there from noon to 4, and Deftones will be there performing live. It's free. Also, Red Jumpsuit Apparatus will be there.
Great.
That's pretty
Deftones good. Are great live, too. If you've never had the chance to see them, you will have a terrific time if you come down to the signing. And the weather's supposed to be perfect on Saturday afternoon, too.
Also, tomorrow, I'm proud to announce that we have a world premiere of a new song that is done by our own King of Mexico.
No.
Look,
really?
Look, this whole show's just run amok. Everyone thinks they can sing now and write songs and perform. It's just wrong.
Not me. I know better.
The king.
That I'd like actually to hear is a Lisa May song.
Also tomorrow from...
Hold on a sec. I'm sorry. I got a caller on the line. Early reviews. You've heard Dave's song. How is it?
I think it's hot. It's hot. It's hot. It's tight. It's a hit, man, and I like it. I'm going to go get it. That's
all right.
The keeper right there.
Okay. So I guess the rest of us will hear that tomorrow.
He can sing. He can do it all.
He also just picked up the phone with Sarah and Mike, and Sarah did paper. Mike did rock, so Sarah won the ticket.
Sarah, congratulations. Rock.
Yes.
Well done. Sweet.
Also tomorrow, people who have bonus body parts.
Seriously. Are you out of topics?
Have
you gotten to the end of the big book of topics?
You dated a woman with two vaginas. That's not fascinating?
As long if every call is two vaginas, you'll be okay.
Ralph, you don't watch The Grey's Anatomy, but they had a case on the other night of a woman with two uteri.
And two uteruses.
whatever.
Right, two uteruses, right. So she had a baby in each chamber ready to pop. You know what I mean? Yeah. And we just got to started talking off the air, and there are all sorts of people who have extra fingers and extra nipples and extra teeth.
And yes, and then your point is what? Pat O'Brien.
What's that
yeah,
like?
Yeah, we've turned into the insider.
You
I was just going to say
you're
that.
Pat O'Brien. Next, extra nipples after this commercial.
But we never told people we were any different, really, though.
And I think what Lisa says is true. What is that like? I mean, if we got a dude who calls in who's got a third eye and hold his forehead, what's it like?
Nobody has a third eye, by the way. No one has anything that interesting.
If we get a third eye call, I'm going to give you $100.
I got an extra pinky. Oh, wow. What's that like? How has it affected your life?
It doesn't. I just go to work.
Are you able to put on a baseball glove?
No. All right. I think it's a little bit interesting.
I got an extra toe. Oh, it's great. Caller number four, what do you got? I got hair on my face. All right, good.
Go. Last year, we brought you the anorexic twins. Now, 1 year later, how much do they weigh?
Thank you, Pat.
Plus, tomorrow from the new movie Stranger Than Fiction, we have Maggie Gyllenhaal.
Oh.
And speaking of movie, Ralph will be here with the Showbiz movie beat tomorrow morning on the Kevin and Bean Show.
The Showbiz movie beat. The brand new expanded one.
Yes. Yes.
Well, that sounds like a way better show tomorrow than today's was.
Except for the body part thing. Yeah,
Ralph,
good.
I don't see the magic.
It's going to be great. It's going to be great.
I have an extra buttock.
That's
awesome.
Be awesome. Is up next with 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock. 30 Seconds to Mars. Mike will be played just for you, their latest from yesterday. Also, we got Green Day on the way. We got The Killers, Social D, Papa Roach, Incubus, and more. Straight ahead right here on the world-famous K-Rock.